Hello and welcome to episode 297 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is John and I play Protector Nemenoth.
This is Colin and I play Signar.
This is Crump and I play Retribution.
This is Nigel and I play Kador.
And Keith may or may not be here. He plays Signar.
It's Haley. Sorry, Haley 1. Yeah.
Haley 2 and Haley 3.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how are we starting this bad boy off? Are we having the coach come in here?
Yeah, let's do Coach's Corner.
All right.
What is happening? I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. No, so before we start, Colin is our ATC coach, right? And we have been in training hardcore. So we brought the coach on the podcast to give us a little motivational speech.
Wait, is he coming with us?
Yeah.
Can you, like, be the Bill Belichick of our team?
He is 100%. Like, they have rules for it.
Perfect.
Which he's already breaking.
Yeah, I've gone deep. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, deep in there. Yeah. I basically know everything. Everybody's playing. It's over. GG.
All right, coach. What do you got for us this week?
All right, guys. So this week, I would like to talk about how we prepare. We really need to... Actually, I want to start over. Like, how we should do it is it should just feel like a press conference.
This week, we have a new segment. It is Coach's Corner. And let me introduce our coach, who will be coming to the microphone here soon, to answer all of the audience's questions and give us a little heads up.
Hi, I'm Coach Pritchard. This week, I think we need to focus. Like, as a team, we need to focus. God is great. He gives us... All the attention, all the effort and like all the hard work, it comes straight from God. We really need to just keep our eye on the prize and just get in there and just focus and, eventually God will provide. I'm getting really religious with this. This is not.
Yeah, summing up a spiel basically just implied why like half a lot of people hate sports. Just like the post talk is just like we gotta protect the ball better and we gotta score more points.
And
I think what Colin was trying to say is that we just need to work on our preparation and really, really focus on our fundamentals and, do the basic blocking and tackling of War Machine, roll dice, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Colin. Mm-hmm. All right.
Coach Corner did not go over well. Josh will be just very disappointed.
We'll try again next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Coach Corner is every week now.
Coach's Corner is every week.
Until we lose the ATC.
We're not losing the ATC. We're 100% winning the ATC.
We might get lost on the way to the ATC.
Potentially. Particularly if we decide to go on a brewery tour on the way there. Mm-hmm. So.
Wait, what? This is news to me.
What's that?
This is news to me.
Well, I've heard Wisconsin makes some pretty nice... beer. Mm-hmm. So,
I heard it was all cow piss.
No, that's spotted cow, Colin.
Spotted cow. I misheard that then.
Anyway, we are deep in our preparations for the ATC. We've actually been playing quite a few games. I think I've gotten probably 5 games in the last week or so in a War Machine. Mm-hmm. At least 4.
Yeah. I'm at like 12.
About 12.
What? Yeah. I'm kidding.
What sweet hell did I awaken to?
Hey, I'm actually enjoying War Machine now. Striker 2 is my baby. He's awoken the spirit. I'm off scoring. Thank you, Striker.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, you don't have to revile your score models for the second time.
Yeah, Striker 2's had some big buffs, actually.
Well, I mean, he's weirdly like side-graded, and I don't know. His positive charge being more like Ragban is a huge difference.
It's a huge, huge, huge difference.
Wait, how did they change positive charge? I missed that.
Editor's note. Positive charge did not actually change from Mark 2 to Mark 3.
In a positive way.
Friendly now, models just have to be within 3.
Friendly faction. But
That's it. It's no longer based on where the enemy's at or whatever.
Or like, if you have reach, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Wow, that's really awesome. Still +2/+2?
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't it?
Before, the model that with positive charge had to engage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you would take things with reach and things like that.
Gotcha.
But now... that's irrelevant because we're just going to get in there with a hurricane and just have a 3-inch Ragman hurricane up there.
But that's the big thing, is the positive charge target doesn't have to be near the enemy. It just has to be like exactly like Ragman. He just has to be within 3 of his buddies, and it's a huge radius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if lesser warjacks are ever a thing, I'm going to be super happy.
And if you... if, yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a thing.
If you take him... If you have positive charge going with Ragman, and then you take like a hot meal guy... and Ragman has the 12-inch threat on his...
Gibbs? Yeah.
Gibbs.
Yeah, Gibbs. You have 12-inch Dark Shroud, then plus positive charge. It's like, huh?
Yeah, Colin, actually, that cat, you should have been playing that caster all along. Now that Gibbs exists, that seems like the first perfect caster for Colin.
Yeah.
Because you just get a free turn if you're just like, kill the world.
Oh, my God, I love Colin on like 4 hit points. If he had Gibbs, I would have lost my crap. I would have been like, ugh. Because like, he sort of jammed and decelled and Eric, yeah, and I got it on like 4 hit points or something. And
yeah, he like... like, he had P Butcher, and I was standing right next to my old Rowdy, and so he was just trying to kill me with blast damage, because I was death
trying 16. To kill Striker, too. With
well, it was Butcher's speed turn, so it was all additional die. Yeah. Okay. So it was a lot of boosted, like...
It wasn't... I think the if he hits his first... I think your first two shots missed.
My first two shots, they were to knock down old Rowdy, and yeah, they both missed, which also would have killed old Rowdy pretty quick.
Yeah, you missed a couple of shots off because you didn't
because they were standing up. I had to actually, I needed like sevens to hit with all my shots then.
Yeah,
so
I think if it wasn't for that, you kill Striker and then I lose.
So I'm curious, what was your list?
My list was just the Theme Force with two units of Stormblades, a full unit of Cav, no Lattimore, and then I had Junior with. Charger, and then Rowdy and
Lancer.
Lancer, there we go. I didn't cuss, by the way. I was about to.
Yeah, Arlo's Strange Ways.
Yeah, and then a random like solos to fill out.
Yep,
were there Stormblade like attachments and all?
Yep, that was fully loaded.
Cool. I was just curious.
Stormblades are awesome with him.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, like, rough terrain is rough. Like having no Pathfinder is really rough. Also. Yeah.
Can you take the Archduke in
the
theme?
Not in the theme. He's not. He's not a thunder.
He's
thunder
not
bro.
Electrical.
Oh no, he's a Sword Knight, right?
Yep. It was actually a super fun. It was a super fun game because none of us had like denial. Really, I had more denial than he had for sure. But like,
I had kind of denial too with the AoEs. The terrain. So.
But it wasn't like annoying denial. I can just whatever.
Yeah, you're able to like slog through it.
Yeah. Also, since you because I put Arcane Shield on a unit, he didn't like go after the unit, so there wasn't a lot of rough terrain around them. It was just all on my caster. There was like four things of rough terrain, just all on my caster.
Yep.
But I don't know. It was a super fun game. Yeah. I don't know. Did we sum up the game?
Those guys were like the thing with the Stormblades that was good with him is they have advanced move, and then they both have Iron Zeal, both units, and then he has D Cell.
Advanced move screwed me.
What?
Because he deviated on turn one.
Oh, yeah.
And got five of my guys under an AoE.
I did, but I only killed two.
You killed two gunners.
And I did four damage,
one.
Yeah, exactly. And but even then, though, that was a pretty lucky rolling, I think, because... you
went
D cell up. Yeah. But once you had D cell up, it shut all that crap down. Like, it just was like, well, I guess we're just going to try to kill Scaster.
Iron Zeal and D cell, really good.
Wait, yep.
Is Acosta?
He's in the Theme Force, but he's not Partisan or anything.
He's just listed as a Signar solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got super excited for a second.
Under my war, he's literally always listed as a Signar solo.
Same. I'm not in the theme, and he's right there.
Yeah, see, thank you.
He's right.
I think he's actually Partisan, and Private Press just hasn't put it on
he's
the
He's right yet. Between Lattimore and a Stormblade Captain. Chilling.
Do you guys mind if we just play him as Partisan? And
I don't care.
Yeah! We got one!
Oh, my God! Oh, God. Striker 2 is so sweet. I creamed because, like, Gibbs is obviously super good with him. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you guys were mentioning, like, Positive Charge and Ragman. Mm-hmm. And Ragman's Lelies. So
exactly. That's why we're talking about the two, is that, you have 12-inch.
Well, I mean, Ragman's just good and probably goes in, like, a lot.
But it is this list so fast. Yeah.
But with Gibbs, he can actually keep up with, like, Rolling Thunder, which is the hard part of Striker's feet.
Yeah.
So Striker armies can easily, like, sort of outpace Ragman, but the reposition helps quite a bit.
Yeah.
The 4-point swing on out-of-activation attacks is
gross. Pretty gross. I just want to, like, have Striker kill a heavy without repercussion. You're just like, that heavy's dead. Thanks. Like,
what's the hot meal range? Does that have to be
it's his command, which is 7.
What? He just throws the soup at him?
Yeah, he's just like, here, have some food. You look hungry.
Oh, perfect.
I don't know why you would ever take Striker without Hot Meal.
Yeah.
Theme, I guess.
Theme Force.
That doesn't seem worth it.
I don't know. Like,
a Theme Force
killing
actually...
a heavy for free.
Well,
it's not for free. Your caster probably dies.
What?
What? It's Striker.
He can die.
Okay, sorry. For the cost of, like, 4 focus, I guess.
Yeah. Well, not according to Josh.
Because you just charge it and then you velocity. You charge it in and kill the thing and then just velocity.
Oh, God. Gibbs is Josh's nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it.
What? Why?
Oh, my God. I'm playing Striker 2 now. I need to play Josh more often.
Yeah, you probably never lose. Josh literally cannot beat Striker 2.
Although, it did feel cool.
Oh, is that what he lost to?
Trevi, yeah.
Yeah, Trevi played against him. We literally walked away. Josh had all of his jacks. Trevi had Striker. We came back a half an hour later. Josh had no jacks. Trevi had Striker.
No, I meant the guy at the WITC who...
No, that was
Vlad 1.
That was Vlad 3.
Vlad 3.
Yeah, he BF'd him really good.
Yeah.
Best friended.
Best friended.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I also think Jake's is also very good.
Yeah.
She also has positive charge, but she has...
Wait, she picked up positive charge? Oh, yep. You mean the actual caster, not the solo.
Yes, the actual caster.
I was like, wait, what?
Wait, every Sengar list can have positive charge?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's exactly where my mind went. Yeah. I was just like, what?
Oh my god, positive charge on a Firefly would just make
cause
my head explode. Yeah.
That's I put Firefly in the new list.
Gross.
Yep. So get some assaults off.
Yeah, all those assaults. Yeah.
No, positive charge is a fantastic buff. So, and like you said, it works on out of activation stuff. So, like specifically with Striker 2, Rolling Thunder, his feet, like you get a lot of work out of that. It's pretty disgusting.
I mean, the reason why the Firefly is so cool is you just assault in there and then you just move up. It's actually just bananas. I'm so excited about Striker 2.
Yeah.
I'm happy I found a caster in Sengar. I was kind of floating around.
Well, you didn't settle on Haley 1?
Oh, no. I'm going to make her great again. Like, that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, Hot Meal. Why is Hot Meal so sweet?
Also, what is it? Is it Maxwell Finn? Is he the turbo solo? Like, mini turbo douche?
Well, he's no Acosta, but he's pretty good.
He's got a lot of rules.
I think I just love that guy.
He's like a crappy scrapjack.
Yeah. Well, I really want to play him with Jake's because then he has reach, and so then he just starts mulching through, and then.
Oh, speaking of scrapjack, we probably should talk about that. The turn one. I mean, we can thank the Dark Guidance guys for this. I think they kind of brought it up, and then Alex, who's one of our buddies, was listening to their podcast and was like, "Old Witch can feed on you on turn one," and I'm like, in your deployment zone, basically, right? Pretty close.
Yep. There's some caveats. Yeah, yeah. It's not perfect.
But in theme,
she has to do a couple things that aren't intuitive. She has to spend her entire stack. She's got to like put Murder of Crows out, teleport, and have Iron Flesh. And if she doesn't do all three of those things, she auto dies.
Depending on what you're playing against,
against almost any list that can play, yeah.
It has to be in theme, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to get the advanced move.
Yeah, basically, Scrapjack advanced moves, and then activates, apparates, runs, and then to just the edge of her control area, and then she unseen pass to right in front of it, right, basically.
Actually, the advanced move doesn't do anything for that.
Why?
Because he can run.
Because he can run 12 and he apparates 14, you know, and then she can teleport to just, you know what I mean?
No, because
it gets her one or two more inches tops.
No, it gets you...
Because she's at the front line. It has to be in her control radius for her to teleport to it. So he's limited. He could run much farther than that, but because with the advanced move, he moves up 6. He could run 12 more and apparate for 14. So he's got. So he can fly way out, but okay, she still can't teleport to him.
Without the advanced move, he moves 14 away, right? Because it's 12.
Correct. He moves 14,
and then
12
and then apparition.
Yep.
So she has a 14-inch plus, like, you have, like, 1-inch because if they both start on the front line.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whereas she also has apparition and is speed 5. So in Alex's case,
the apparition.
Can walk.
Okay. Her apparition makes up.
In Alex's case, you do get the extra inches from the advanced move because she can walk and then do it. Because he'll be out of her control area, and she'll apparate him forward.
Yeah. All right, I see it. But like,
the Warcaster has a speed.
You also can't go ham. Like, for example, when Keith did it, he didn't need the advanced move. Like, he was often popping it from, like, really conservatively. Like, essentially, he would basically have her control radius so it was just barely touching the deployment line. In ideas, like, I just want to block the table off.
I mean, it works pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Side note.
You set the engagement line super far forward.
Well, the other thing, it forces your opponent to bunch up. So, like, Nigel was playing a million Winter Guard with rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like, this 14-inch crescent shape of, like, jam-packed infantry because there's no place for them to go.
Yeah.
And Scrapjack goes in there and just decides to scrap F everything all in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd he kill, like 20-some, 30-some dudes? Like
30 dudes on the dot almost.
What, it was 30? Okay. I thought it was 40.
Nope. He killed everything but 2 full units of rifle corps, and then he killed, which was 3 min units of rifle corps with rockets, and then he killed 3 weapon teams.
Couldn't she like basically always do this?
Yeah, she's always, but just apparition changes.
Because she didn't have apparition.
Correct.
Right? Apparition and also the advanced move.
No, but even out of theme, like it's still 14 inches up, plus completely within 2, plus like an inch and a half. So math.
That's what I'm saying. Based on, like, Keith barely...
Well, I'm just saying, she could walk forward 5, so it's 19 inches, and then she unseen pass within an inch, right?
2 inches.
2 inches.
Within 2 inches. So Scrapjack runs to 19 inches, which puts him 20 inches onto the table, basically. She unseen pass 2 inches in front of that. So that puts her at, like, 22 inches. You start on the 7, that's a 29-inch line. So you add 14 inches to 29, that's 33, 43 inches onto the table where her feet reaches.
Without the theme force, you can get to, like, the 38-inch
mark,
which is your deployment zone. because they deploy 10 out, which is 48. So, like, even without the theme force, it's probably good enough.
And again, out of theme.
Your opponent, like, shuffles. Like,
out of theme. Even in theme, like I said, Keith, in almost every time he did it, he had to do it at a distance that was basically the theme didn't, if, you know. The only thing the theme was doing for him is that his jack line was remotely close to her. Like, that's the only, because, you know, it's basically that everybody else gets to go 12. Was, you know, helping. And actually, it's more than that. It's 14.
But if you're out of theme, your units can get way up there.
Like, no, it's like true, because you have AD unit, and stuff,
Yep. Well, and just units are faster than jacks, right? Like, your unit speed 6, it will run as fast as the jacks in theme, so...
To be fair, you in that theme you can you don't have to play only jacks.
Right.
I mean, you do, but
well, I think the big thing is you can if you play that in theme, you can take a Cotter battle engine and then have a sac pawn target with her.
Yeah.
That makes her significantly safer. Yeah. But also
it's
she can
stealth enemy into blast damage is pretty.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty safe.
Yeah, as long as they don't have like somebody that goes a million inches.
Reinhold.
Yeah. Reinhold is an issue, but she can put the cloud right in front of her, right?
So yeah, you can. Yep.
Blocking
you
a lot of
that's what I mean. There's a counterplay to it, but also you can't catch people.
This actually sounds sweet.
It is pretty cool.
You just get to set the line of engagement like 15 inches up your opponent's table. Like
it's a borderline.
I'm not sure it's okay.
It's not Denny 2 in Mark 2 good, but it's up there. It's
also
way up there.
If you have like the Scrapjack in front of, like you want Scrapjack in front of Old Witch, like actually.
Because you want them to force that 14-inch line so the Scrapjack can get in.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to punish them if they do that exact. And that was the big thing is that Scrapjack was actually, he was only like barely in front of her against where Keith actually got me with it. And then he apparated and charged in. So it was actually very close. But yeah, just you want to be 14 inches away from Scrapjack in addition to her. God. And then he can't really do it to you.
I think I would happily not have a feat for the rest of the game to like set the line of engagement like
way over there.
16 inches out of
it would almost be like going
edge.
First twice, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, like, it's really bad. You you basically take advanced deployment away from your opponent.
Because her feat is everybody that moves in it takes a POW 14, mm-hmm. and if they get damaged, they get knocked down, right?
Yeah, if it's a warrior model. Warrior models that take damage get knocked down.
Oh, it's only warriors.
Only warriors, yeah. But think about things like Tuna. She can play it so that she can't be technically threatened, and then all those armor 13 things run in and take a POW 14, so it's dice plus ones, which, and then she's a caster who's slinging spells, like, she can probably play a pretty good game, and also her little Scrapjack can just run away and she can teleport to it, like, she can sort of play a, also, even the POW 8 against, like, Tuna, just for running into the Murder of Crows. Yeah, she's interesting.
And then Creeping Barrages.
Yeah.
That's our Tuna tech?
Wait, those are, like, super low POW now, though, right?
I think they're, like, POW 6 or something stupid.
No, don't they have explosive?
You know what, I think you're right.
No, I was talking about the actual creeping. Oh, they're POW 10s.
Yeah, they're POW 10s.
That's what I said.
Whoa.
Yeah, take that, Tuna.
Yeah.
Actually, P. Nemo's feet does some damage to them. POW 16s. Well, POW 14 up to 16 because, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, back to what you got. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, we're later in the episode, we're going to talk about meta bending Tuna and how to whoop her.
We're going to talk about tuning up Tuna.
Yeah.
Get Tuna up.
This makes me, I want to, like.
Get out of here, Tuna.
I want Subway now.
Yeah, same here.
Gross. Oh, my God. This dang it. I wish I owned Kador.
The weird thing about it, too, is like...
The Old Witch seems sweet as...
I've been like... Part of my floundering of Mark III has been like going to all my old haunts. You know, like Old Witch. She's still terrible. Old Witch. Why is she bad? And just like over and over again. But now like seeing her, like, oh, wait. There's something there. Iron Flesh is actually the sneaky part. That was the full thing about with Keith, playing with Keith. Once he got Iron Flesh on her, it changes the game so huge. I just never really considered how dynamically different that makes her. Because that's always been my beef with her.
She just dies.
She always dies to just dumb stuff. And like against Keith, I killed him by slammed his own crap over him and then bombarded it to death. And then the second game, I just ran one of my own things up next to her and bombarded that to death. Like, but it just got her. And so he's like, okay. But then he like looked down at his card. Iron Flesh. Because he was camping too, you know? So he like used the two to like stop the damage, but it wasn't even close to enough. And then he's like, wait. Just put that jack back and let's just you know, and then he did it. And then I like had to play an honest game and it was totally different. It was very like, wow, that's a big difference.
I mean, that's... She seems sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still the same toolkit.
Nigel basically had to apologize to Alex Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't. Suck it, Alex.
No, Nigel was just like giving him such crap about it. Like
I wasn't giving crap. I was saying there's a lot of counterplay. Like, there's a ton of counterplay.
You were totally giving almost half of that counterplay got, like, it was just not even, like, counterplay because Iron Flesh exists, and now you...
Yeah, every time you read Iron Flesh, you're still like, plus 3 def, minus 1 speed, right?
Like, no, I'm like, plus 2 armor, and I don't really take into account how useful being immune to blast damage. Yeah. I'm like, plus 2 armor, that doesn't save you from anything. You know, but then blast damage is like, oh, yeah, there are some casters that that's a problem for. Because, like, a lot of times I'm like, oh, okay, Butcher, get up to 20. He doesn't care about blast damage anyways. He's armor 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, we have old witches. That's, yeah, cool.
And Sorcias.
Yeah, Sorcias. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, if it was playing, like, if you're playing Sorcia 2, like, in a Gunbjorn, and he's got all those blasts, you're like, so good.
Yeah, that's, gross. This is just, blah.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
it's not even gross, though. It's, like, just cool.
It's just more like...
It's kind of gross.
I don't want to just, like, all right, I go second. Okay, go, I guess. Like,
honestly, the one thing that, like, over the weekend I've learned about Kador specifically is if you want to mess with the line of engagement and where the game happens, Kador is the faction to do it with. Like, it's just Vlad 1 stupid, Old Witch is stupid, Zerkova 2 stupid. You basically, Sorcia 1 stupid. If you want to basically, like, force the game over by their deployment and then have it just completely, just, you turn the game on its ear with, like, a lot of casters, Strakoff even, if you want to throw them in there.
Yeah.
But it's like, the 3, though, Old Witch, Vlad, and Zerkova 2 are pretty hilarious. They get pretty weird results. Like,
and they're doing all this with speed 4 Jax.
Yeah.
Wait, could, like, Doom Reavers be good with her? Because you could, like, actually kind of deliver them?
Nope.
Maybe not.
Yeah, they get gunned down.
They're not in tier, so.
No, I'm not talking about the thing.
No, it's theme or bust. Get out of here. Kador does not have
Why
anything.
Did Doom Reavers get worse from Mark 2 to 3? Like, they lost the strength for some
they
reason.
They gained tough.
It was the theme force.
Doom Reavers are the new Banes, other than they're one less POW now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Berserk that never works. I don't know what about Mat 7. Mat 7's worthless to me. I can't, like, hit anything with Mat 7.
Yeah.
I can
Mat 6 or Mat 8. No in-betweens.
No in-between. Exactly. Mat 6 is fine. Mat 8's fine. Mat 7's stupid.
I beg to differ. I've seen plenty of your Jax at Mat 7 mow down all kinds of stuff.
Jax are weird. I'm talking about troops, though.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, your stupid Mat 7 Jax caused...
And this is Keith, and I play Signar.
Whoa!
Nigel was just saying.
What are we talking about?
He was just saying how he can't make Mat 7 work, and I was like, I've literally watched you make Mat 7 Jax work like all freaking weekend long. So
yeah, but that's Jax, and we're talking about troops. Focusing on the Mat 7 troops are garbage.
I'm building an old witch list.
I'm also going to go out there and say that Rat 7 troops are garbage because Grigorovich was miserable all weekend.
You prefer Rat 5 with signs importance?
I prefer Rat 7 with signs importance, but I mean, I prefer Rat 5 with boosted signs importance. That's what I prefer.
Well, we all feel very bad for you.
No, we don't.
Rat 7 was awful. Again, against Colin yesterday, I had a field gun move up. I gave him plus 2 to hit, and then I needed 5s hit old Rowdy, missed. Then the next one came up, needed 7s and missed. I was like, well, okay, that's awesome. Thanks, Butcher's Feet. It was like, oh, it was miserable. I was like,
So what's the top?
Cat with her are probably pretty good.
We were actually just talking about Old Witch, Keith, and about how she can feed on you and on top of one.
Yeah, so we messed around a little bit with the Old Witch, and I think because I know the Kador players have been really down on her, but I had a great experience because if she uses a heavier armor list, her Field Marshal Apparition, which is what's new about her, she traded that for, she used to let them see through clouds, I think.
Augury, yeah, it's either clouds or trees, one of the two.
She used to be able to see through, I think both. I think she could just see through, I think it was very similar to Bird's Eye.
I think she saw through clouds and Weld Secrets let you see through trees. So she could combo it up or something.
So she traded out that for Field Marshal Apparition, which is really nice for Kador Jax because it lets you get better angles or just generally speed them up or disengage them if they're getting stuck in. And it also affects Scrapjack and her. And Scrapjack getting 2 more inches of threat is really nice. And especially against a fairly balanced list. Because you can force up her feet pretty aggressively. Also, she now has the new version of Iron Flesh instead of the old version of Iron Flesh, so she can make herself immune to blast damage, which is often one of the ways she can get killed. So you can feet.
It's the primary way she gets killed.
So you can feet with her very aggressively, and then it's going to do like one of 2 or 3 things. It'll either force your opponent into a wave format where they send in their heavy armor stuff to contest scenario, in which case you can sort of fight them piecemeal, or it will cause them to group up their infantry right at the apex of her feet. And then as long as Scrapjack is slightly in front of her, Apparition gives him a 13-inch threat range, so Scrapjack can really get in there into their infantry lines. And sometimes you can recall him and sometimes you can't, but once Scrapjack gets into their back lines, they have to like turn around and deal with it. So her scenario game becomes really impressive when basically all she has to deal with in order to get really far ahead on scenario is whatever Jax your opponent brought. I think she's actually a viable caster.
And, I mean, let's just, for any of our new listeners who don't know, if Keith says somebody's viable, it's OP. That's the translation in Keith speak. Because Keith, viable is, the only way Keith plays viable is if it's like, you know, Gatsby 2 and Mark 2 was viable. Haley 2.
No, in this case, I think I'm using viable more correctly because there's a lot of counters to how that functions. Like if she's facing down against really high defense troops, Scrapjack is going to fizzle out pretty fast. If she's facing against tough troops, Scrapjack has the potential to fizzle out pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely, you can counter her game plan, but it is a strong one. So I think she has a pair. She has got a place in a two list pair. I don't think she can carry a two list pair.
That's interesting.
I agree with that assessment. There's also a lot of jank lists that could possibly give her trouble. Like, just, yeah, you couldn't rely on the tactic every time, which makes
sense. Well, anytime you have a sort of static game plan like that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a flexible game plan, but in a lot of ways, it reminds me of Denny 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, where...
It's a weaker version of Denny 2,
It
yeah.
is, but when people... when you lose games with Denny 2 is because people who are prepared for her game plan, mm-hmm. basically. Same thing. People that are informed and are prepared for Old Witch, well... probably figured out how to deal with it pretty well by either killing her when she comes up so aggressively or just not caring.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by Old Witch. I mean, she's in a faction that's already doing very well, so it's not like we found the gold that makes Crix exciting and interesting, but
right. Well, we just
segway.
Really, we just really wanted to see, like, after listening to Alex talk about it, and apparently it was on the Dark Guidance podcast, we were just like, well, we just got to actually see this top of one feat from Old Witch, and yep, it's pretty effective. So,
and you can't always do it at max range, because oftentimes jacks have a threat range that's that far, and then you're dead. So you're usually, the couple times I did it, I was feeding not necessarily into their deployment zone, but very far up the table.
Yeah, I was playing Vlad 1 with the Winter Guard tier, not the all jacks tier, but even my two destroyers with Vlad, they threat 15 or whatever it is, 14 inches.
Yeah.
So it's like, and she's way in front of everything. She's the closest model.
Crapjack's the closest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can trample up and then just buy attacks and
so she would have to often position herself so that her feet was out of my jack, you know, like a half inch short of my jacks, basically, which was out of my deployment. But
because they got advanced move too,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're playing in theme,
because mm-hmm.
you're a themey guy now.
Yep,
you're just all about the Winter Guard.
Yep, yeah, I'm theming, but yeah. Yes. But yeah, we got some Crix Dojo too.
Oh yeah, right. Sorry, I was tooling around with different Old Witch lists and theme.
Oh yeah.
Trying to figure out, like, various battle groups and whatnot.
Figuring out how to multiply Marauders.
Well, no, just, like, because, I mean, even Destroyers, now that they're 14 points,
yeah.
like, those guys with advanced move and...
Like, I love Destroyers. Also, I had, like, a moment of glory with Keith. It was short-lived, but, like, I had a Destroyer go in with Vlad, and he had three focus, and basically he, like, I got, like, what, two or three crits in a row? So I was just kind of yeah. like, whoop, 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 because it's... he just, like, sort of Ginsu knifed it to death, and then the next one came in, he's like, can I repeat it? Nope. It was like, no crit, no crit, no crit, you're on over half your boxes. Yay.
Yeah, that first one you cut down like 11 boxes with the crits.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what did crits do on that thing?
He has crit amputate, crit so he finishes. Yeah, he finishes the column. Yeah, it's really
or
bad.
The spiral, so he can. Yeah. Yeah, if he dings a gargantuan,
that's
like take 14 extra damage.
God, that's so frustrating. Just on that hat, yeah. Because it doesn't matter for Colossals, because they still have, like, the same grid, basically. But gargantuans get effed. Anyway, I made Crix Dojo on my very long plane ride back from Mexico. I got bored and mm-hmm. didn't have any internet, so started tinkering around with other factions. So I was looking at casters who used to be pretty close to broken in Mark II and seeing how they changed. And Scar II seems almost as good... if not, like, sweeter, potentially. Did she use the Future Sight her battle?
By the way, Scar 2 was roundly considered terrible in Mark 2. So.
She was.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't broken.
It must have been spoiled. It must have been nice to
yeah, no, exactly.
be that spoiled.
Scar 2 was very strong at the beginning of Mark 2. And then
she was good out. Until Colossals came out, is how it was generally perceived.
Yeah, pretty much. Because she couldn't feed on them. And so you'd be like, oh, I just died. But she still got... she's still got Backlash. She still has Black Spot. She still has Death Ward. Did she always have Admonition? I think she did.
Mm-hmm. She always did.
But she picked up a new spell, which seems kind of cool. Just gotta mention it for people who don't know, because I don't know if anybody's playing Scar 2. But Soul Strike, it's kind of expensive, because it's range 3, pow cost 3, range 10, pow 12. And it's sort of like a magic bullet. If it kills a model, you get to pick a dude within 4 inches, and then that model takes a pow equal to the model you killed's arm. So
that's a pretty good magic bullet, because I mean that's like a minimum of pow 12, right? But it's probably
like pow 16.
Well, it could be, yeah, depending on what you're blowing up, and you're using a pow 12, right, to knock it out.
I mean, if you're using it on infantry, it's guaranteed to kill the next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean
it's a good way to kill solos, though.
It is.
Yeah,
you just get a, I mean, I don't know if she's gonna cast that spell very much, and I kind of want a death jack.
Does she have to shoot enemies, or does it work on anything she kills?
Living. It's only living.
Ooh.
So you can do it on your own dudes, I guess.
Cool.
Because it's like, because Scar 1 still has Sacrificial Strike, so it's kind of like a spellish version of that.
Yeah.
But I just had a funny thought of, like, a Storm Lance that has Arcane Shield on it, and you just, like, kill it with that spell, and you're like, your caster will take about 20. Just like,
wait, it's not, probably its base armor, right? Not its current armor.
Damage roll with a pow equal to the arm of the destroyed model.
That is not current. Or that is, rather, that is current.
Yeah.
Iron Sealed Sentinels. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a situationally actually awesome spell.
Is the bounce boostable? I'm going to guess not, right?
I'll just read the spell. So when a living model is directly hit and destroyed by Soul Strike, after resolving the attack, you can choose one model within 4 inches of the destroyed model. That model suffers a damage roll with a pow equal to the arm of the destroyed model. The additional damage roll is not considered to have been caused by attack. So sure is.
That's boostable?
Yep.
But it has to be within 4 inches, so it's not like that.
That's really dumb.
I mean, it does cost 3 to, like, kill 2 dudes.
Yeah.
So.
It is good also, though, on a future site caster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's really efficient then. You might be able to pop off 2 of them.
Yeah, exactly. I read it, and I'm like, this spell seems sweet. Like,
She still has Perdition, right?
I'm not sure it's boostable, because that sounds very similar to the wording on Electroleap. Does Electroleap specifically say non-boostable?
Yes, it normally does.
Let me just pull up. The wording of is not an attack, I think, is to get around things like
Soul Collection.
Yeah.
I actually hate is not an attack.
Electroleap explicitly states this: the model of the Lightning Arcs 2 suffers a unboostable pow 10.
Okay. Yeah. So you can certainly boost it then.
That's kind of sweet.
Gross.
I didn't actually think about that part. I was just more like, this spell seems sweet. Just like scalpel out sleet solos. But it's just like every turn you can just like, how about a pow whatever you left within 4 of your caster to your face? Like, yeah.
What's the armor on those Slaughterborn dudes?
15? No, I think they got higher. Keith?
They have unyielding, so they can be higher if they're engaged.
Ooh!
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
They run them engaged, and you shoot them in the butt.
Hitting them in the butt seems sort of difficult, but anyway.
Also, if you're killing your own guys to empower this spell, you're probably not getting value.
But it's a sweet way to kill the caster. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, she still has feedback, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually a fantastic
backlash,
way.
Backlash,
but she has feedback with Sixus Raiders.
Yep.
And then Backlash. So you like, your plan could literally be put some damage on you with feedback.
And just kill you.
And then, like, finish you off with random whatever.
Yeah. Maybe.
Why not?
Yeah, basically, she's still largely the same. She picked up that spell, and then, which is seems like a sweet spell.
Black Spot's still a sweet spell.
It is. All of her spells are sweet.
Wait, did she kept Perdition?
She lost Perdition.
Boo!
I guess.
Okay, that's
that was a major part of her game plan.
That was a huge part of her game plan.
Yeah.
I think it's still okay. Wait, she always had Admonition and Perdition?
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
She was really dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb. Anyway, her feat now is different. You can suffer up to 5 damage points just like in Mark II, except for now it's not that model can't make attacks if you target an enemy model, and this model can't be targeted by attacks if it's a friendly model. It's now a friendly model targeted gains +5 defense, and an enemy model targeted suffers -5 to their attack rolls for a turn, which is basically like it can't make attacks.
Kind of.
It's close.
I wish that you got +5 defense and steady.
Well, so funny thing, the feet can now target colossals, which are steady.
Yeah.
So you can shove a def 15 arm 21 crack in somebody's face, which
probably lasts a turn.
Probably doesn't remotely come close to death in like most situations. I'm trying to think of like how I would deal with it. You're just like, step one, how do I hit this thing?
Well, first you shoot
it's like sustain attack or bust, basically.
Yeah, first you shoot it with a Reckoner and get it down to def 13, which is still annoying, but less annoying.
Yeah, I guess.
Gun Mage Captain Adepts.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
still
not
a thing.
Easy.
It's still a thing.
And then it's still armor 21. which is...
The Crabjacks are all probably pretty good, right? Because they're steady and they're def 12 base, so they become def like 17, so they become like 17, 18.
The what is?
Crabjacks, all the Crabjacks under the feet.
Oh. I think they're... Yeah.
They're base 12.
Yeah.
And they're all steady, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So sort of the list that I built is her with a Kraken, because black spot on the thing is sweet, and then it also, like, for previously mentioned things. And then there was 15 other points of battle group models, which originally started as Malice. The original stupid idea for this list is... I'm going to, like, hook something with Malice and then go punch it with a Machine Wraith to, like, move it into the back of my army and then, like, backlash it and kill it with Satixis Raiders to just, like, put 12-ish damage on a caster.
Yeah, the Kraken got improved from Mark II.
What changed that much?
I think its AoE size went up to 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that... Yep, yeah.
Yeah, the it sort of traded places with the Sepulchre, because we were all pretty sort of excited about the Sepulchre, because its gun loadout was better than the Kraken's, and then they made what was good about the Sepulchre, they put that on the Kraken.
Yeah. So I'll just run through the list. It's Kraken, Barathrum, Ragman, Satixis Raider Captain, Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, Gorman, Machine Wraith, and then Raiders with attachment.
Is her feet friendly or friendly faction?
It's target model. So if it's a friendly model, you get +5 defense. If it's an enemy model, they're minus 5.
So you can have Wrong Eye be def 17 under Starcrossed?
Yes.
Or Bloody Bradigan.
Or Bloody Bradigan?
Like as a beast.
That's a beast! Thanks, Coach.
Yeah. That's originally Wrong Eye and Snapjaw weren't
so
in
your,
the list.
Your Kraken is also going to have Starcrossed. Your def 15, boo.
Mm-hmm. So
Scar's traditional problem, part of the reason why she fell out of favor in Mark 2 was that armor became a bigger factor. And as a Crix caster without an armor fixer, she's sort of in a bad place because, she was a Crix Jack caster without an armor fixer, which put her in kind of a bad place because our Jacks were not well known for their ability to crack armor.
Yeah, they count like 16 or something.
Alone. Right. So that's where she ran into problems. So that's why I like the Ragman include for that reason. I would just continue to worry, since armor is sort of more prevalent at the moment, whether or not that list can handle it. Like, the Kraken is a good start. Having Ragman is helpful. And Wrong Eye hits harder than he used to. So, I mean, Snapjaw hits harder than he used to. So it's definitely got a decent set of tools for her weakness.
Yeah, most of the armor you see in the game, though, is from Warjax.
Yeah, you can also suck out just by feedbacking their caster to death, right?
Right. So it was that, and that's also why I threw in Gorman. It was like, the list has a 4-point armor swing versus Warjax.
So it's more tooled out for a War Machine matchup than a Horde.
Right.
Although the Horde's matchups aren't as scary for it, I don't think.
Right, because they don't have as many high armor,
We're not worried about Armor 23 Titans now?
Nobody plays Scorn. What are we worried about that?
Armor 23 Titans.
Yeah.
Can't your Kraken, like, punch a Titan and be safely out of an Agonizer range?
Oh, and also it ignores the shield.
So yeah. Oh, yes. Go Krakens.
There you go. Look, you teched for it. You teched for the problem I could think of.
Boom. Brilliant.
Bingo, bingo. Actually,
that was sort of the armor skew thing. I was just like, well, most of the armor is just Warjacks, so we'll just kill them. Like, not the Warjacks, just the casters. They're just going to die. You brought 10 heavies? Take 7 points of damage from that one, and then this one, and then you're dead.
The boostable Sack Strike spell reminds me of Mark 1.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was like to play Scar in Mark 1. You just, like, literally just Sack Strike things to death.
Yeah.
Well, it was coming from Armor 21 Bane Knights. That's not happening anymore.
Right.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, there are Armor 20 Troopers around.
Yeah. I mean, it could... Yeah.
There are no Armor 20 living Crix Troops.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you can't do your own.
But not...
So you kind of have to do it to yourself.
Your opponent...
Also, it's not control range, doesn't require line of sight, doesn't require a hit roll.
Yeah.
No, it's not as good. I'm just saying it just reminds me of it. That's all.
I mean, this list,
you could armor buff your own trolls, and they'd be armor 17.
Yeah, that's true. Armor blood gorges go from 15 up to 17. You get them engaged up to 19.
Boom.
But then you have to kill them at armor 19.
I think that killing your own dudes with the spell is a bad idea. I think never putting their caster within 4 inches of an infantry model is a good idea.
Also bad.
Because, think of how free, just between backlash and feedback, you can get enough points of damage on a caster where that spell becomes like the super danger zone. Where I can't put my caster.
Even just putting a boostable POW 14 on somebody's caster is a lot of damage.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, now I kind of want to squeeze Deathjack in. Because three of those coming is just like ugh.
Yeah.
Well, Deathjack was particularly good with Perdition, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
I think going the route of the Kraken is good in light of her kit change. Right. She's definitely not the assassination caster she used to be, as far as just putting Deathjack or Nightmare on your face.
Right.
But Deathjack does make pretty good use of admonition.
He does. And just he himself can cast that spell every turn for free.
He's also POW 19 base, right? Or is he POW 18?
18, I think.
He was 18. I don't know if he went up.
I think he's still 18. Deathjack, you start with a D. You're at the top of the list. Yeah, 18. Two 18s and a 15.
That's still like higher than most Crix Jacks, so it gives you a little more punching power.
It is, but like, I don't know, I had Barathrum in there. I'm not super in love with him, but he was Malice for the hook him and book him plan, but I don't know.
Barathrum is considered to be one of the mainstay Crix Jacks right now, so.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good for his points. He's only like 15, right?
Yeah, he's pretty cheap.
So he's like a value.
He's cheap and durable because he's got bucklers now.
And also has access to Diggin.
Does he have bucklers? Because War Room does not show that.
Oh, never mind. I'm lying.
Okay.
That was wishful thinking.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't give you a 13-20 jack for 15 points, I don't think. But, yeah.
Oh, he went up to armor 18, though, so there's that.
Oh, yeah, because he was 13-17. That's right. I mean, he still does all the countercharge, Diggin, all that GS, but drag below. No. God, is it possible? Deathjack, you're just too many points.
He seems like it to me, but I haven't put him on the table enough times to be able to definitively say that.
I think the fact that he can't cast upkeeps anymore makes him not worth 23. If he
that really
cast,
hurts.
If you could cast upkeeps, I think it's arguable. But most casters, you don't have a spell where you're like, yeah, necromancer or whatever the rule is called.
Spell slave?
Yeah, or whatever it is.
I don't know what it is on Deathjack.
I think it's called necromancy, actually.
Necromancy is what it's called, yeah.
I was actually just completely guessing that based on geomancy from the Wolds. I was like, death. Magic. Yeah. I mean, one of that's... Yeah. I feel like there's something here, maybe.
It's got a decent game plan, yeah. So I like it. I like it from that aspect. Hi, baby.
Now we just need to get it on the table and see if it's any good. Yeah. So Crump will be playing Crix at the ATC then.
Yep.
We'll give it a go.
Does somebody have Crix models I can borrow?
Keith does. He certainly has...
Sure do. Not a Kraken, though. No Kraken.
Dang. Cox has one.
Fox one.
Oh, man.
And no bathroom.
That's okay. Although, I think I like him more as Malice. I want to hook him and book him.
I do have a Malice.
That guy's sweet.
Nice.
Our ATC team's rounding out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Other annoying things about Wrongeye and Snapjaw. I'm just gonna spoil this thing that Joey messaged us before the cast, and he's like, guys, Makeda 1's feet, now it doesn't say friendly faction, it's just friendly. And so we're like, oh, sweet. Keith, were you here for this?
No.
Oh, so
that's almost got to be an oversight. Scorn is like the most insular faction there is.
Well, kind of, except for, you know.
The Taskmaster.
The Taskmaster, and they used to take a lot of, you know. But Makeda has always been, like, a purist.
Yeah, the whole point of, like, Makeda's feat is that she's too good of a leader that her troops, like, refuse to die.
Right.
Keith, this is as intended.
Yeah, so okay, her feat, right. For those of you since the errata, is while on Makeda's control reigns, friendly living models gain retaliatory strike. Additionally, when a friendly living warrior model in this model's control range is disabled, this model can suffer one damage point to remove one damage point from the disabled model. Can't be transferred. Lasts for one round. So John was like, well, that seems sweet. I mean, what's the like sweet thing you can put it on? Like a ferret scouts? Like, that's pretty good. And then I was just like, what about Wrongeye?
Yep, that wins.
It's just a Wrongeye that you just can't kill.
It's certainly useful with like the Kaltari because they get all up in your grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you put, yeah, it's Starcrossed. That's miserable. That is a miserable jam. Also, yeah. And then you're just like, are you going to submerge Wrongeye? I don't know. I suppose. I don't really need to.
Actually, Chad, cut this out. I just don't want this in here. It should be out.
he doesn't want it to happen to him.
Are you checking the card? Does it actually say friendly?
Yeah, it does.
I can't believe that.
Also, you could, like, Throlg that doesn't die is actually kind of annoying. That guy just...
Oh, my God.
It's just like, he just goes and like punches a warjack and disrupts it.
I was just debating.
He's like, I can't die.
Debating if this is like, could be the new Stranger Danger. You could take like Zadesh, Wrongeye, Snapjaw, Roshan Brine. And can they take like Dalian Scareth or any of the other ones?
It's just Wrongeye and Roshan Brine.
That's still three juniors.
And Zadesh. Then you just like, whoosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, when you said Zadesh, I thought the cat dude, like Tyrant Redeem. I
was
like,
oh, yeah.
He's also probably a good...
Yeah, Radheim Steamroller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cats that can't die.
Yeah.
Just nine
does
lives.
She have... She doesn't have anything else that synergizes with those beasts, though, does she?
She has Carnage.
She has Jackhammer.
That's Battle Group only.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Wait, Carnage is friendly faction.
No, but Keith was asking for... I thought he was like referring to Zadesh or...
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking about Makeda with the lessers.
No, none. But, I mean, Wrongeye not dying sounds...
Yes, Wrongeye... I was coming back to Nigel's point that I like Wrong Eye in the list on his lonesome, but I wouldn't be like, yeah, let's get Roshan and Brian in there. And because Roshan and Brian have lost a lot of their luster now that they can't, you know, fly a snake.
Wait, what?
You can't fly snakes anymore.
Can't throw your own models, bro.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, only Kador can do that.
Gotcha.
So stupid.
Wait, if Iacos casts a spell that throws a model, can you throw your own models?
Sure.
Oh my god, this is gonna... You can actually get Wrong Eye even further up in there. Well, I guess it's the same as him charging and failing, but I was like looking at the Taskmaster, who now has a Scudder, which gives a dude reposition 3.
I mean, that is pretty cool for Signs of Importance, but...
Yeah.
Is Scudder model or model unit?
It's model unit.
Oh, it's model slash unit?
Yeah. What a crappy way to say it.
I know. It's model unit.
Got you good.
What a douche. He literally just read, that's how fast he read it. It's model. Oh, there's a slash and a unit at the end of this, too. Good job, Crumb.
You're welcome. God, this, I don't know, that sounds sweet.
Well, I think we should do Metabender Tuna this week, and then we should do High Reclaimer when Josh is here.
I like that idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Since he's put some thought into High Reclaimer.
Yeah. Also, since he got touched in a bad way about High Reclaimer, he'll be like the dissenting voice over everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah, his Metabender solution will be an errata.
Tuna, that's pretty good.
Tuna is actually very, very good. So we put her on the table this weekend. And when I say we, I mean Grub.
I love that, John's news at 11.
Tuna's good.
We found out.
Well, I mean, it turns out the dojo in my head basically worked out exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
She's broken.
This is a train wreck.
Yeah. So you're just going to have to like know how to, you're going to have a plan to deal with her. She reminds me in a lot of ways of Lich 2, where you just had to have a plan if you're going to play against Lich 2, because you knew you were going to see him.
Yeah.
You know you're going to see Tuna. You're going to have a plan.
My plan is that not enough Circle players can own Scarspell Griffins because they're constantly sold out. So like, I'm good for a few more months at least.
This is a bad plan, Grim.
Yeah.
Just let you know.
China cannot produce them fast enough.
So let's start out by identifying the problem. Utuna, Bano, as we like to call her, is, I know people love the nicknames.
You're welcome, Wizards.
She's got a really aggressive alpha strike plus a feat that prevents you from retaliating into a secondary murderous alpha strike, which can also easily kill a caster. She gives her griffins flank with each other. Her feat gives them +2 speed and immunity to melee attacks. She also has an ability by which she can play more attrition-y, because within 8 they gain sprint, so they can play very cagey close to her if she can work in safety. The griffins themselves have long leash and stealth, making them very hard to deal with on the approach, and allowing Tuna to stay safe via distance because she's got a 28-inch control area with the Scarsfell griffins.
And if she wasn't safe from distance...
If she wasn't safe from distance, she can cast Windwall.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't safe from distance and Windwall, she can have her 2 sentry stones make forests in front of her. So she's got safety for days. She also has a great utility gun that has 3 different shot types, Snipe, Thunderbolt, and...
Black Penny.
And it's range 10, pow 10 base.
Yep.
The Thunderbolt shots were interesting. It allows her...
The Thunderbolt shots were really good. Yeah, Nick put those to good use by clumping up the models that he wanted to kill, making flanking on them easier. Because like my initial thought was, I'll just spread out my models that he wants to flank and kill, making him commit more griffins. And he's like, no, get together. And
Yeah, by the way, when you did that, I was like, oh, well, this sucks. I'll read the back of my card. Oh, this doesn't suck. Never mind. My list just played itself. All right, we figured it out. I was like, man, flank's gotta be hard now. Oh, no, no.
I mean, it did force you to commit Tuna, so, sort of.
Yeah. I was just like, the few things that are in threat range of her are now dead. Yeah.
So, there's a couple interesting ways of... So how you want to think about it is, how can I deal with the griffins when they engage, or prevent them from engaging when they want to? So there's sort of a couple different ways to go about it. There's a couple, but not very many, sort of hard counters to her. One of them, interestingly, Nathan pointed out, is Aurora, because she can use Bladed Gale and take flight off them. And when they lose flight, they lose the feat. Is that correct?
That is correct. I will go check the wording on Bladed Gale. But yes, if they are not light war beasts with flight, they can be attacked.
Oops.
And that's... then I believe also Lunissa Rissel pulls flight off them as well.
That is
Troll Kid
they,
Sorceress.
That is only if they begin their activation in her Winter Storm bubble.
So, yeah.
All right, so she does not.
Because Colin had that thought about the Hurricane, but the Hurricane also has the same problem of it's they have to start in the bubble, I think.
Which is just not going to happen with their 14 to 16-inch threat ranges or whatever they are.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
Whether it's 7, 10.
I'll double check on all the things.
10.5, 12.5 with... they have half-inch reach, right?
Yeah. So it's
7 to 10.5 for their normal charges.
12.5.
12.5 of feet, right? And then Hunter's Mark, 14.5. And then if they're one of them will be miraged, potentially.
Yeah.
For 16.5.
The Hurricane. I will still run my Hurricane at them.
Yeah. The Hurricane, you could just jam it down their throat, and then models activating within 12 lose flight for a round. And then the Hurricane gets murdered by all the Griffins that are losing flight, but murdering the crap out of it.
Well, then it
but
dies.
But
then
you trade your Hurricane for like 3 Griffins, I guess.
I know.
So.
So this is maybe not the best plan.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it.
No, because you put Winter's Wind on the Hurricane, and so anytime they end their activation within 2, they become stationary. So then they can't flank it, and then they murder.
Winter's Wind?
Yeah.
We're just, who's the boss in it?
Who's
That's
the boss?
Dojo
exactly.
Right now?
This is full on, this is, yeah, War Machine Dojo,
this
homie.
This is full on Casey
yeah,
Dojo.
Casey.
Oh my God.
What would you do against that, though? Nothing.
Well, I mean,
I gotcha.
I just want to say a couple of things. Instead of giving you like specific protected advice, which I'll give in a minute, there are things you can look for. So, for example, one of their plans, one of the things that Una's trying to do is engage your army and take stuff out, and then be immune to melee attacks. But sprays ignore the engagement penalty. So if you have good boostable sprays, like they tear those Griffins a new a-hole mm-hmm. in a hurry.
Yeah, guys. It doesn't take much to reduce those Griffins to nothing because they're armor 13.
Yep, they are def 15, so you have to be able to hit them. But anybody with a good spray or a way to enable a good spray, so if you have a good way to knock them down, slamming your own models into them is fine.
It's not that fine.
Well, you can only slam your own models into them if you have
medium base,
either chain attack smite or combo smite.
Yeah.
So, oh, good
you
point.
Can't slam any or a spell that slams.
Right.
All right. I solved it, guys.
God, 2 Hurricanes?
Yes.
Yeah.
2 Hurricanes. 2 Hurricanes with Peace Striker.
No. It's just...
also a lot of the versions of combo smite don't have good collateral. Like any of the magisters are going to be
like
strength
sixes.
Of the model, which is like pow 6. So that's not great.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
But like the Commodore cannon, yeah, absolutely.
I want to get on Colin's thing here. I think Peace Striker 2 Hurricanes actually probably wins. And then
not really.
Only wins, but probably actually beats Baldur 2. They're both arcane shielded, right?
Yeah, they're both arcane shielded.
Yep. Colin broke it. Figured it out for Signar.
And you just literally run them both at her.
I was going to say Striker 2, such that when those 4 Griffins kill the Hurricane, he kills all the Griffins and then runs away.
He never gets far enough away.
Anyway, I'd like to see you put it on the table and see what happens. It's interesting.
The Griffins.
Those Griffins hit so hard.
Yeah, they do. Also, really good blast damage.
But do they kill Arn 27?
They don't
no.
have to. They don't have to come
no,
in on
they
that
don't,
turn.
They, don't.
They have threat range where they can just literally just like.
I'm gonna run so fast at them. It's they're just they're basically gonna be in their deployment zone.
It's speed 5, Colin. You can't run any faster than.
I'm basically Bill Belichick up in here. I will cheat.
They have apparition. He's playing up with Old Witch.
Yeah, it's like 10-inch apparition.
Yeah. Anyway,
but you can actually either seen through stealth or just good boostable. Blast damage will wear them down on the way in as well. So that's not like it's like not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because again, they're 15-13s. So if you kit them with like POW 8 blast damage and you boost it, that's a pretty significant amount of damage.
Yeah. Knockdown effects that don't require hit rolls are spectacular.
Like slamming your own. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I forgot that you can't slam your own models. So.
Oh, no, never mind.
I legitimately forgot about that.
Lanissa Rissel's like kind of cute, but.
No, she's not that effective.
Actually, wait, can Scorn take Lanissa? No, they can't. Damn it.
No, certainly.
I was like,
not.
We could keep her alive with Makeda, and then we.
Yeah. The big trick is whatever your silver bullet that you're developing also has to be able to play into, I would say, Wormwood and Baldur 2, because those are both.
Or your other list.
Well, then
if you get into list chicken, I mean, then you've at least got a chance, chip in a chair.
Yeah, I think the better plan is to have a bullet for both, or give you a game for both. That's how I like to play, but certainly understand what you're saying.
I don't know if that's possible for a lot of factions. But...
Well, you have to, like, apply your faction. You just have to understand what they're trying to do, and then do what you can to mitigate the damage that you're taking. So that's the thing. The other tricky part with tuna is you have to, like, feed the griffin something to get him to come in. So you either have to have, like, enough ranged attrition where you force them to come in.
Enough anti-stealth ranged attrition.
Right, or just blast damage. Like, that will add up. Like, mortars probably do just fine. Turns out high explosive POW 10 damage rolls, those griffins don't want anything to do with. Mm-hmm. Especially under signs importance. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
But you...
In Kador, I know, like, Vlad 3 rockets would be amazing against them.
Why Vlad?
Because dash gets you out of melee without taking free strikes.
That's the other thing, too. You can just shoot those griffins to death once they come in if you can get disengaged from them somehow. But what you don't want to do is feed them a bunch of high-value stuff. So your heavies have to be, like, out of the game. And you have to... I think my game plan will be force them to commit without feeding them heavies. So... Which is tricky.
Mm. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shove so much down their throat, they're going to choke on it.
Yeah, that's my Zirkova 2 plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think about, like, if... Like, sentry zones are really good at clearing out infantry, especially when you put Hand of Fate on a unit.
Yep.
A lot of people are playing, like, units of Wolf Riders, which are...
Colin's going with the General Mark West plan.
Like,
and it was worms. There was blood in it.
So, I mean, I think... So we've talked a lot about generalities. I don't know. Do we want to talk about any, like, sort of faction-specific...
Oh, well, I do. You know I do.
I kind of just like the idea of killing Una, but...
No.
That's hard.
You have to take away everything and leave her nothing, and then let her yeah. let her die alone on an empty field with all of her friends long gone.
God, I feel like me and she's surrounded by on the same
exactly.
Page.
Yeah.
I like the idea of playing Aurora and Endure.
Play to Gale Pit? Yeah,
that's kinda, amazing.
That is kinda, I did go through the war room and was like, who could do that? Who could do that? Dang, just her.
It's just her. The best was when we made the token sets, I was like, what the... I have to make a token for this?
Yeah.
Like, I have to put... Bladed Gale into our set, which is a model hit loses flight for one round. Yeah. Like, I have to put these in our sets, and now there's a reason.
What you didn't know is that was going to be critical tech very soon.
I didn't miss it. For that one convergence player at a tournament.
Yeah.
All right. Based on what we saw.
Let's be fair. 0-1 convergence players at a tournament.
I kind of want to play convergence now for.
Is there Kova 2?
Their theme force is strong.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I like it.
So we're talking about, like, faction-specific tech.
Yep.
Does Zirkova 2...
I can go, or if anybody else wants to go.
Well, I'll just go first.
Yeah, nice.
All right. Zirkova 2. All right, so you just take your 2 units of cav, you just run them 18, and then they get in their grill, and then you feed and spray them all to death. Doesn't that work?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have to run, actually. You could probably move your 9 inches.
If that's the apocalypse, if that's a bad Una 2 player, if, like, you can move 9, spray... Then,
8?
Then,
spray 8? Aren't they 8s?
Yeah.
They're 8s.
If you can move within 17, which is outside of all of her threat ranges.
Because what I'd probably do then,
that's inside,
if I'm going to get really crazy, I might go, I'd move 9 and then cast Winter's Wind on all of them, and then advance for, you know, go 5 more forward, reposition, and then do the feat. Because then if you end your activation within 2, you're stationary. So you have, like, these, like, 10 dudes that are like, ooh.
It's only if they don't die, right?
Yeah, but your first one's a total wuss because it's not flanking. And then he becomes stationary and he no longer flanks with anybody.
Assuming he doesn't kill the first.
He won't. He's a big baby. For babies.
It's
he's got
a light war beast. Yeah. Versus 1 cav?
No, versus 2.
Nigel.
They're all base to base and next to each other. So he's got to kill at least 2 to not be within 2 of another one.
Nigel.
No.
Can you Winter's Wind other models or just there's themselves?
I think it's just themselves. Just guys who are immune to cold.
Can't they just like...
Which is Zirkova.
Wait, Nigel.
Do you have any Jax? Beast? Beast is immune to cold, right?
Nope. I don't think he is.
Even if you're cavern base to base, they have a half an inch reach, and if they just start from the outside and work their way in, don't they stay out of the 2 inches?
Yeah, the Winter's Wind thing is cute. It doesn't matter. Just literally, Nigel, just spray them twice and kill them all.
No,
that's a much better plan.
You have to embarrass her on every level.
Move up, spray with your spray 6. You probably miss most of them, but you might hit a couple, and then reposition, and then feet, and then they all die.
For the record, Zirkova 2 is great until she sees the book.
Yeah, or just Sevi 1. Either one of those two things are probably not exactly super amazing for her.
Yeah, that actually...
No, Sevi 1 by himself is probably not that bad.
It's probably playable, although I thought it was funny that I actually faded on the top of 1.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't run 18 and obliterate my army, which was stupid.
Also, it's important to note there's a fair deal of variation in how Tuna is played.
Yeah,
From as extreme to, like, 8 griffins, 2 sentry stones and some other stuff, to, like, 4 griffins with pure blood and, like, like a Gorax or Feral and with cavalry, and I've seen a lot of variation on Tuna lists. So there's no one right answer, because it's a question of how many Griffins do you have to deal with? Like, what else do you have to deal with? Because it turns out some of our answers, like those cavalry models, are great until they run into like whatever the spear throwing girls.
No, not as cavalry models.
Yeah, yeah, I just kill them all.
He out-threats them. He runs 18 sprays, boosted to hit rolls, power 12s, so they all die.
Right, but then you have to do that to them and the Griffins now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a spray, Keith. You can catch more than one model.
and it's 10 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
He also has all the other guys, too, that can run and spray. Like, yeah. They run 12 and spray.
Oh, Iron and Holt also is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, stuff like that. What about just... No, I don't know.
Here's something else I want to point out, too. We didn't really... When we were defining the problem, one of the issues that can happen is she can feet. Her Griffins can run, I think, 16 inches. Is that right?
No, 18.
18. Sorry, they can run 18 inches, and they can literally just all box in your caster, and you can't do anything about it, and then they kill you on the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you have to be cognizant of when you're playing the game, mm-hmm. in your positioning to make sure.
Oh, Zerkova would love if they did that. Oh, God, I'd be hog heaven.
Don't the cav just turn around and spray it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, then she would just, like, two boosted Horfrost. Oh, they're all stationary. And then we'd, yeah, it'd be amazing.
But, yeah.
You can just have one of the cav cast the stationary spell on her, and then they run up to you. And all.
No, I need to, if I did that, then they won't do that. I need to coax them in. I need to,
you want to coax
them? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You want it. You want them. You're like, come at me.
Surround me, bro.
But you just have to be cognizant that that is one of their game plans.
Yeah.
So.
Play casters with Ground Zero.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's so crappy.
What's crappy?
That's the dumbest. Is the fact that they're like immune to free strikes and then have flight
plus two
and
speed.
Run 18 inches.
Yeah. Like, it used to be just immunity to free strikes was basically a feat. Like,
I mean, that's all Saren used to do, right? She'd take two Angelii and then box your caster.
Yeah, same thing. It's the old Saren plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's like...
It's the old Saren plan with lights that hit like heavies. Let's not pretend she's not probably overtuned, but we're dealing with the problem.
Damn it.
I think she's dealable. I think in a lot of ways she's easier to deal with. She's more powerful, but she's easier to deal with.
She's deal withable in the same way that Saren was. Like, you learned how to deal with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like high quality ranged attacks and an ability to disengage yourself. Yep. But I like the Zerkova 2 plan. I think that's quality.
It is. It's funny, too, that Zerkova 2 list is actually, it's such a, like, it's a scalpel. Like, in its good matchups, it'll blow the matchup out, I think. And then it plays mm-hmm. a lot of interesting games in a lot of matchups. And then it has some completely horrible matchups. So
I think it has a lot of horrible matchups.
It does.
I don't think.
That's why I said scalpel.
Yeah.
It's what you're aiming at with it, I think it's very powerful.
Yeah.
You could broaden the list a little bit, maybe not. Because mm-hmm. Nigel literally was playing, like, does it have a magical attack? Sweet, it's in the list.
Yeah, it's like Ayana and Holt. Turnians.
That was it.
Turnian Cav.
Yeah, it was a tier list. I did have two destroyers.
I'm trying to think about like what for Rhett, and it's probably Assyria and Kalissa are probably the two better options.
Well, doesn't Assyria just kill them all?
Yeah.
It's just literally just like feats we see through stealth, science importance, shoot the griffins to death. Yeah. Thank you, drive through.
The problem is the other. Assyria into Wyrmwood is probably fine. Assyria into Baldur 2 is probably less fine, but it's probably still a game. Actually, Assyria into Wyrmwood can actually be really good because she has Arcane Vortex.
Is Assyria possibly her hardest counter?
I think
Kreos 1 is her hardest counter.
Oh, that's might be fair.
It's probably close between the two.
Yeah.
Assyria is certainly real bad for her.
Yeah.
How many griffins can Kane shoot to death?
Of quite a few, actually.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. He might. Yeah.
He just feeds. Like,
fuck! Goes,
yeah.
He feeds and he's just like, Rangers, run out there!
Siege is also probably a pretty mean dude. Because if he can get three of them in his...
If they ever have to bunch up to kill a heavy,
yeah.
He just,
Mage side
he just
done.
Waits for them.
He just halves armor them to armor... Seven?
Oh, yeah.
Seven.
Kane 2 actually just seems like a very solid...
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always in grave danger. Like, I think he's fine.
Wait.
But
why wasn't it just Kara Sloan?
Mm-hmm.
Sloan is a good answer, too. The one I was actually going to talk about is Haley 3. She's not the most, like, point-and-click solution, but she's the one that allows you to also build in such a way that you'll be decent into, like, a Baldur 2.
It's Sloan.
Because...
Sloan's okay into that, right?
all the
Sloan's, yeah, Sloan's are, yeah, maybe, probably not. What's good about Haley 3, and she doesn't have, like I said, she doesn't have the silver bullet for it, but she's got several good tools. She's got the slam spell, so she can either slam down the griffins directly or slam something of hers over top of griffins to knock them down. She's got ghost walk to help her disengage, and her echoes are not super safe in that matchup because there are signs importance. The sentry stone sprays are magical, as I recall.
Yep, they are.
Plus, there will probably be black lead sprays.
Or pure blood.
So, or a pure blood, depending. So the echoes aren't super safe, but they should still be able to get decent work done. She's got the defense increase, which forces out possibly more primals, which is always good. And then the defense decrease, which then makes the griffins a lot easier to handle.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that seems like a game.
Yeah, it's not a silver bullet at all, but she's got a game.
All right. All right, here's my answer. P. Haley.
Oh, Colin.
Come on, she's got the minus two defense. You just
Colin's a lovable scamp.
I don't know what you do. You just like, you get in there, you kill them all. Forge guard.
I actually think that P.
He's
Haley.
Just gonna keep yelling.
I
words.
Think Signar, if anybody though, has you almost don't even need a caster to contribute to the plan.
Yeah, can't you just kill him with Electro Leaps?
Electro Leaps almost get it done.
Yeah.
And then with the Firefly, you just run a Firefly, and then you're Electro Leaps and a Firefly.
Yeah. To really get it done.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot of dudes who can like get him up there.
Yeah. So of course Haley 2 is gonna have game because she can do like the Electro Leap plan and then feet preemptively on Tuna or feet or counter. Or even better, probably counter feet on her. Having a control feat that completely shuts the griffins down is, of course, going to be good. She's got TKs, so she can get, if the griffins go ahead to engage something, she can unengage that something.
What's the what's the fastest way you can slingshot a Firefly without a caster involvement? Is there any other?
Jake's, I suppose.
I mean, it applies within 5, and it's speed 5, so it's like a 15-inch rock. Like, that's probably
it's speed
enough.
6.
Oh, never mind. 17-inch. That's probably good enough.
Okay.
Like, well, just putting it on your caster.
Haley also has TK.
I'm just talking about Haley 1, because she feats with double cav, and then they just electro-leap 2 Fireflies in the butt, like, repeatedly. Like,
I'm in!
Yeah, exactly.
You do, like, a storm wall, so then you just, like, place a pod.
Oh, yeah, pods, and they just... Yeah, GTFO. Yeah, like, that's just... It's basically the siege times 9/11. Like, you just need
Haley one.
Or Haley 2.
Or Nemo 3, and then they're all boosted.
Yeah, Nemo 3 would also be gross.
How well do these plants work into Baldur 2? That's what I thought.
Excellent. Nemo 3 is probably
fine. You play that list chicken, John. You get in there.
It's not list
Haley
chicken.
Haley 2, just fine.
Yeah, that's... Thank you, Keith.
Haley 2 is not all the answers.
We're just trying to establish that Tuna's garbage and that she doesn't...
Colin,
she probably needs buffed.
It actually turns out that she pretty much is.
Damn it, Keith.
And it's been that way for a long time.
Darius!
God, worst faction in the game.
Yeah. It's a great faction if you love Haley 2 as much as I do.
Yeah. Did you have any other thoughts, Keith, on list composition?
I think the version of Haley 3 that I've been toying around with is strong into her. It's got a couple Grenadiers. And the nice thing about the Grenadier is that under the Griffins can probably kill it without primaling, but the defense 15 makes them at least think about it.
Sevens to hit.
And they'll at least have to commit the two Griffins to kill it because they will at least need flank.
Yeah.
Like a Griffin without flank will not do the job. And then they can also chip in blast damage on the way in, possibly, as well as then. And then once they get formed up, like if they come in at the jacks like that, then I've got ghost walk to get anything else that's engaged out, and then storm blades to do the shooting if I can get them knocked down. I also have a gun mage captain adept in my list, so I can flare one of them.
Yeah, you can also just like walk like feet walk baby Haley to engage the side of one of them, slam two into each other, and then regular Haley can also do the same thing, so you can knock four down pretty easy, right?
Possibly,
depending
if
on
I'm casting. I think if I cast the slam spell with regular Haley, I probably immediately then lose the game.
Why do you say that?
Because if I'm getting her, I can use Thorn for her to cast it, I suppose. Yeah. But I don't have my defense spell up, which always makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. And then, because Haley's almost always empty. And if, like, a Griffin gets on her without the defense spell up, she's going
to
die.
I'm just trying to facilitate a plan where you kill all the Griffins, so you don't care.
If there's only, like, four or five Griffins, possibly. Yeah. She might be able to just nix them all that way. I can also slam an Ironclad over a number of Griffins. That's an easier plan. I need to read... Let me read Tremor quick. That also might be really nice. I think he can just, like, whack something friendly and tremor down everybody around them.
I thought of another thing in Wrath that's actually not caster-dependent, which is House Guard Riflemen. Those guys ignore stealth with the solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Tremor is before resolving damage from this attack, center a 4-inch AoE on the model directly hit. Models in the AoE become knocked down. So it's basically a placeable 4-inch AoE that knocks down everything inside of it. Yeah. So if the Ironclad's still alive, he can knock down a couple of them, probably. So my Haley 3 list is a couple of two Grenadiers, a Charger on Junior, Thorn, an Ironclad, Trenchers, Stormblades, Fullboat, Rupert, and a GMCA, and Ragman. And I think that's got game. I will probably have to play it to get decent in the matchup, because there's a lot of versions of that game where Haley gets killed.
Yep.
Like a lot of versions. But there's also some versions of the game where Tuna's not perfectly safe and I get Griffins on the way in. And so I think it's very playable.
I think I would agree with that.
So that's Signar. Signar's got a lot of options. I kind of like those Electro Leap plans. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, Haley won.
Yep. No, not with
Haley. Not with Haley won.
I think that's the only way it works, though, right?
Yeah.
The double attacks.
I mean, it works with Haley 2 and Nemo 3.
It's a good plan.
It literally works with every caster, I think.
You mm-hmm. shut up.
Yeah.
Step 1, place a Storm Pod. Step 2, or step 1, run a Firefly. Actually, that's probably a better plan.
Step 1 is hit a bird with a Storm Pod. Like, get him, do some damage there, and then put it between two birds, and then you kill two birds with one pod.
Nice.
It's legit. Between two birds.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
So, are there any other factions what we want to talk about counters for? Protectorate has Krios.
I think Krios is a strong counter in that as long as I play the game such that I don't feed her something important when she brings the Griffins in. But
I mean, Protectorate. Well, just talking about Protectorate in general, tools that they have in the matchup that are really strong. Redeemers, they out threat the Griffins and they just lob blast damage at them, and boostable POW 8 blast damage is going to ruin their day real fast.
It should force.
They've got Rovan and Co.
Yep.
Rovan and Co. to see through stealth to allow them to scalpel out Griffins ahead of time. So, like, Protectorate has easy tools to force them to engage.
Yep.
So you get a favorable engagement on your terms. That's the problem that I foresee with some of the counters that we might talk about, is that there might not be a way to force a favorable engagement. Like, that's part of my worry with Haley 3, is that I'm sort of relying on a counterplay rather than proactive play. And I think Protectorate in this respect, although a lot of times they're focused around counterplay, gets to be the proactive.
Yeah. You're kind of hoping that scenario forces them to play honest, right? And come into you.
Right.
So the other things that there's a lot of other sort of interesting thoughts that I had in just thinking, breaking down this matchup. So Malekith actually has some interesting tools in that he has his feet basically says that fire can't go out. And then then all fire damage is boosted and it lasts through the next turn till his next turn. So you can put, like, if you light the Griffins on fire, they take boosted POW 12s. So literally a Repenter or a Hand of Judgment who's got a boostable spray, you just boost a hit, you hit him with a POW 12, and then they take another boosted POW 12. They take two boosted POW 12s, basically, from every spray. If you line a couple of good sprays up, I think you have some counterplay there in that you're sort of forcing them into bad situations. But again, you have to boost a hit, so that's not the best. And then, obviously, admonisher shots are always good. So if you have, say, a battle engine, you can walk up, see through stealth, boost a hit, hit a griffin, probably bounce into two more griffins, you know, and you're putting a boosted, I think it's POW 15 now. It might be 14. It's 14 or 15. And it's range 14, so it's got plenty of range.
My fear with the battle engine is that it's one shot and then it's dead.
And then they come in. But you force the engagement then, as long as, you know, depending on what else you have.
And maybe that's enough.
Yeah. Yep.
But so, and there are a lot of Protectorate casters that have an okay game, but you're going to have to be ultra careful. Like Severius 1, for example, his Redeemers are going to be a complete and utter hell for the Griffins. But he is in extreme danger of getting, like, the surround feet death.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you're sort of relegated to, well, I guess I'm casting some Ashes Dashes and hoping that they die.
Although he can feat and reduce them to Fury 1.
Does it reduce their Fury? I guess it does. It's minus 2 Fury. I hadn't thought about that. I thought his feat only applied to casters. I'm going to check that.
He will still die, but they'll be Fury 1.
Cleansers are actually also interesting if you can figure out a way to make them hit, because they assault. So if you think about charging cleansers, that's 18 inches of threat, but you have to come to death 15. So I think High Reclaimer actually is a fine, probably a fine drop into Tuna, in that you can feet back cleansers so they can aim and have Hand of Fate, and then they will pretty much tear up Griffins pretty well. It doesn't matter if they're engaged or whatever. And they're like 10-inch sprays too. So you can just line up sprays for days where you're hitting three Griffins per Hand of Fate spray with an aiming guy. And, like, I think you probably get the job done.
Hire a claimer, another caster who's definitely got tools, but is going to be have to be extra cautious about getting killed.
He will be in mortal danger, so you have to like pay attention to what's going on.
The only caster I can really think of in Protectorate who's not worried at all about having them come at him like that is Krios, because he just feeds them down.
Yeah,
and then they all die a horrible, horrible instantaneous death.
Yeah, they instantly die to whatever. Yeah, I mean, we could figure out embarrassing ways to kill them after we feed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What about some other factions? Like, do you think the Horde side of the house has it a little harder?
I was looking at trolls. They've got the Rune Shapers are really nice because they've got the advance. I think they can advance 5 and then use their Tremor, which is a 4-inch AoE around them. Everything in it gets knocked down. So you have to play KG with your Rune Shapers, but they can at least make the Griffins handleable in that respect. They also just have a nice natural high armor, forcing Griffins to utilize flank more often. This is where Chad would be helpful.
That's okay.
I'm trying to think caster-wise of who's going to be useful. Epic Grimm has got really good shooting and Mirage to help him, to make him harder to engage, his army a little harder to engage, as well as a feat that makes his shooting a lot stronger.
Does he see through stealth?
Oh, he's got Mage Sight.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I actually need to confirm that he used to have mage.
Northkin Fire Eaters are pretty gross.
The Fire Eaters, yeah, Fire Eaters are great.
Yep. Again, it's those boostable sprays we talked about, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're sort of if you have a way to get a boostable spray in your faction, it's a very good like sort of toolbox to have. Like it won't win the matchup on its own, but it'll give you options.
Yeah, Grim 2 still has Mage Sight. Mm. So he can light them up and blast a couple of them out from range, forcing the engagement. At which point it's a little bit more challenging, but if he's got like Miraged Scattergunners, they can mirage out of engagement, and then he'll feet, and then they're quite accurate if they're aiming plus his feet.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of dead griffins.
Oh, that's also worth noting. Tristan, the new caster, has Field Marshal True Sight, I think. So I'm sure there's probably a Protector gunline that is decent into the matchup at least.
Man, they're just passing that out like candy now.
That I haven't played at all or even really thought about, but I'm pretty sure that some number of Repenters plus Reckoners that see through stealth all the time, probably pretty good in that matchup.
Mm.
I mean, I was actually really hoping, I was like looking at next Una 2 card, and I was really hoping that somehow the Archidons would have a way to it, like they'd have an air battle. It's like when she popped their feet, like flying models could still attack them. That's how it should work. Like, it should play like Magic the Gathering. If you have reach or like flying, you can still attack them. Right? That'd be really cool.
That'd have to be a new rule.
Enemy models with... No, all I would say is enemy models without flight cannot attack these. Yeah.
Boosh.
That'd have been more flavorful.
That would have been super cool. Because like, then the 10 Archidon spam is like super cool.
Get out of here, Colin.
It would just tear it apart.
Every model... Yeah, and a lot of factions have a couple models with flight. So
yeah, that actually would have been really good. PP, get on it.
Yeah, like Assyria could have punched a Griffin to death. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Wait, you mean not ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got flight, though.
She does have flight.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we're a little less informed on the other factions. I'm sure that there's some counterplay available to you. You can take a lot of the things that we sort of applied, knocking down Griffins on the feet turn without targeting them with melee attacks in some way is powerful. Attacks that bounce.
Yeah.
Obviously, good. Go ahead, Keith. Sorry.
Morgul 2 now is going to be fine against them because he's got a... It's not exactly Ghost Walk, but it is that incorporeal spell that helps him disengage. And then his feet makes them quite easy to kill.
Also, Bloodrunners just have parry with him.
And Bloodrunners have... The question is, is he going to have the requisite amount of guns to deal with them once he's disengaged and blinded them? Probably not. Like, Scorn is still not a huge gun-shooting faction. They've got some.
But he might be able to blind them, and then he can... Does Fate Walkers still work the same way?
Not as well, but you get to move, like, 5 instead of your speed, I think.
So he might be able to just blind them and kind of walk away, and, like, if they force to... Like, they might not have enough fury to do anything. Like, if they want to shake blind.
They don't need a whole lot.
No. They have... For some god-awful reason, those griffins have 3 initial attacks.
You blind them, Colin, and you walk away, and then you go punch them with Taskmasters.
What's that do?
Don't they have, like, put a fury?
I don't know.
What does that do?
But if they take a free strike,
they might
then
frenzy.
They get a fury. Boosh.
Also, we're trying to deal with them on the feet turn, so no punching.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. These are,
You run to engage, that way they can't fly over.
Some of this advice is probably more useful than others of it. We'll leave it for you to sift through, lucky listeners.
Yeah.
Good gravy. So sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's like Gladiator and like, oh, no, you can't slam your own dudes.
Yeah.
Does anybody have combo slam?
Tiberian has crit smite, so you can go gambling.
That seems like a bad plan. I don't know.
Oh, just a little like POW 20.
They did just give you the tier list that you could play a ranged list like never before with Scorn.
That is true.
Yeah. Does it see through stealth?
No. Not
are there
at
any?
All.
Are there? I got it. It's Makeda 3, okay. and then you just spray them with drakes, and you got a vortex of destruction. It's legit.
I mean, you can already boost the damage.
Yeah.
What I mean,
round zero vortex of destruction. If they do the I'm gonna run engage your caster thing, you're just like,
oh yeah, they're not gonna. Sure.
Actually, yeah. Wait, did she just kill with just two ground zeros?
They're only POW 13s.
Yeah, but they're boosted. So it's like two boosted 13s.
Oh, well, yeah, I get
that. That actually is like 1 point shy of killing a griffin because they have 22 hit points.
Yeah.
So you're just like 10 and a half.
Work something else out. They might be able to get it. Like, and just engage them all after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's it. You have one drake in your list, and then they run and engage your caster, and then you just surround their griffins so the first ground zero doesn't blow them up and push them away. And then
also, just as a public service announcement, if they do come in with the griffins and you can't kill them all, make sure you put your caster in a place in such a way that they can't take the griffins and then get to your caster. So you have to like plan your turn ahead of like assuming you have a plan for your failure to deal with the griffins, because the worst thing that can happen is, you know, like two griffins live with one health each. She heals them both and then they just walk over to your caster and kill them, because they will.
They do at least have to respect free strikes the turn after the feat.
Exactly. So you have to, that's what I'm saying. Put stuff between your caster and the griffins, or play in such a way that your plan includes building at least somewhat of a bunker for your caster to stop them from getting to him.
Does Goshot still ignore forests?
Yeah, I think so.
So could they actually do the Xerxes 2 spam?
Oh, they could.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God, that list has a place.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think it just had a place already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They might be able to do that. Speed 8, they have a... What?
They're range 10. They have range 10, but they can cast the Raider Animus.
All right. What was the list again? It was like 7 shamans.
That list was actually just kind of like some guy in Omaha played this list in a tournament. It was just getting people left and right all the time because he was playing Xerxes 2. And he just like mobility and feet. And then these stupid Cyclopses would walk forward and just shoot their caster with Ghost Shot POW 12s. Because they're range 10 POW 12, but they have ghost shots, so they
signs importance.
And signs
boostable.
Importance.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah, ignores line of sight, concealment, and cover when resolving attacks. And it's an evil eye, so it's magical. So take that wind wall.
Well, Tuna just auto dies unless she's 28 inches behind her.
But they don't ignore stealth.
They do not.
But Una's not.
Extoller! Can you take 7 extollers?
Una's not stealth. What is it?
No.
No, you just kill Una.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you just kill Una. Yeah.
Yeah. They threat.
Again.
6, 8.
Disclaimer.
8 and 14, so math, 22. That's pretty far.
Some of the advice in this podcast is better than some of the other advice.
I'm telling you, this list is actually legit. I think it might win this game.
He actually killed a bunch of, like, that guy was just killing people left and right, because, like, eight boosted hand of fated POW 12s that you can't, like, defend from because they ignore, like,
unless
you can't
stealthy.
Block line of, yeah, exactly. But how many casters are, you know, that's pretty far and few.
Or unless you just stay 18 inches away, right?
24 or 22.
20, yeah.
I suppose.
It's not that bad.
I mean, Una does have a 24-inch control range for the relevant griffins.
Details, Keith.
I'll take that challenge.
We could also just put some extollers in and then just start bracket blasting some griffins.
Well, yeah, I think you actually have to have the extollers in there anyway, just for casters.
Are we done with the Tuna discussion? Like, it feels like it's winding down, but I feel like we were done maybe 10 minutes ago, but that's okay. It was still fun.
I don't know. I was actually looking at Storm Striders.
We were done with it when John stopped talking about Menos.
That hurts.
I mean, that was like 10 minutes ago, right?
Yep.
Well, what else is there to talk about, though?
I can always talk about more Menos.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a podcast.
It's getting close.
It's 10 o'clock almost.
I had a little bit of Retribution Dojo, if we want to talk about that.
Ooh.
Ret Dojo, what are you doing over there?
Well, I talked about this with you guys.
I Crix Dojo'd, so he Ret Dojo's. We swap.
Yeah, I'm back in, so now I'm thinking about everything again.
Oh, I see.
So I was looking at, I saw somebody mention that they were playing, that they were having trouble playing against a Retribution 3 Colossals list. I was like, 3 Colossals? That reminds me of that list John used to play. And I was like, who are they playing 3 Colossals with? And it was like, Helena. And I was like, no, I don't like that at all. So I, but it was with the Theme Force. So I went and looked at the theme force and what it can do with Jack Spam. And it's like, for every 25 points, you get a solo for free. And I was like, well, Colossals plus Virus 1 is what John used to play, because he liked the Speed 7 Colossals. And I was like, so what kind of battle groups can we build that sort of mimic that list that he liked in Mark 2? So I started with Hyperion, Imperatus. And you can put Imperatus in the list because it's bonded to Virus. And that leaves you with, I think... That puts you at 94 points spent on Warjacks. So 6 points is an Aspis, and then you're at exactly 100 points. So you get 4 free solos. The solos you can choose from are Magisters, Artificers, and
Mechanics.
Unfortunately, you only have enough points left over to buy one Mechanic, so you probably need to use one of your free slots for a second. Which sort of sucks because you're only getting 2 free points instead of 4 or 5. And then either 2 artificers or 2 magisters, depending on personal preference, more or less. And that way you've got 3 solos to help, 3 solos and Virus that you can use sort of disposably to help you turn the feet on when you need to, and just help out the list against shooting. Like the +2 defense aura from the artificer is not dead because Hyperions are already defense 10. Defense 12 against shooting is a relevant stat. And it's basically everything John used to play, plus all the Warjacks gain shield guard. So you can start shield guarding, like Imperatus is the first one to shield guard since he's got the Phoenix field. And then after that, it's like the Aspis, the Aspis first, since he's got shield guard anyway, and the Phoenix field. And then Imperatus also has a Phoenix field, and then the other Jacks. And then from range, you might often have enough focus to even re-up your power fields. So shooting into this list is hellish just because the damage gets spread everywhere and then regenerated and repaired. The list can regenerate like D6 plus, or 2D6 plus another 2D6 in repairs plus 4D3 damage. So it's like 2D6 plus 2. So 4D6 is 14, and then the 4D3 is another
8.
4, 6, 8. So like 22 damage a turn.
Well, it's a lot of it's high armor too, right? Because you have Inviolable Resolve.
Yep. So it's all armor. It's all at least armor 18.
Doesn't Helios do something into shooting too?
Yeah. So there's a second version of the list where you trade out one of the Hyperions for Helios, which saves you 2 points. But then you want to respend that 2 points on Warjacks to stay at that 100. So you'd probably drop the... In my thought process, it was drop the Aspis for a Chimera, because Virus has Stranglehold, which is a spectacular spell if you can get it out there. So then you've got the Chimera as your Arc node, who can shield guard if necessary. And then you've got a list that's remarkably resilient to shooting, because you cast Inviolable Resolve on Hyperion, so he is 12-21. Helios uses his +2 defense against range attacks and Poltergeist rule, which makes him 14-19 against shooting, under the effect of the Artificer bubble, of course. And then Imperatus is 15-18 against shooting.
Or
all with,
potentially
all 15. With shield guards and repairs and regenerations. And
possibly 15-22, because you could also put Inviolable Resolve on Imperatus. It's a fine target for it.
Yeah, then 15-20.
I'd play that list. That sounds like fun.
Yep. So what John used to do, though, was he was playing it when Virus was in Champion, so he would have specialists with this list. That is not the case anymore, and because it's a theme force, the specialist that he was most fond of was Discordia, who is no longer eligible for the list because she's bonded to Ron, not Virus. So you can't have her, but I think the giving them shield guard makes up in large part for not having her. Especially in the version where you play the Helios, and then your resiliency to shooting is kind of ridiculously high anyway.
It's pretty good. Helios also gives you an interesting, like, pull the guy in, pull a heavy in.
Yeah, it significantly reduces your ranged output, but you do have that extra bit of utility. And I would have to see it to know, like, the value of that utility.
Excited about that part, because you spent a 34-point models activation to sort of drag in a heavy to have, like, a 22-point model kill that heavy. So it's just, like, my entire turn was spent, yeah.
Well, Helios has dual attack. So he can drag it in and punch it himself. I figure more often you'll be pushing things away and trying to selectively engage things.
It's one of those things I have to see on the table. It's interesting anyway.
I mean, he makes you a lot stronger in scenario, just because if they're trying to like commit only slightly to his own, you're just like where, and it's like they're 3-inch pushes, so it's a lot of control. I would have to see it. Like, it might be bad, that version. I know the double Hyperion is good because it's a lot of guns with those 2 giant cannons, and now it's just 2D3 Power 12 side cannons as well. So I'm confident that the Hyperion version is as good as it used to be. Also, his feat is probably better than it used to be, considering power up.
Yeah, for sure. As long as you can successfully shield those solos so that they can run and engage something for you to really light up. So it's like kind of a weird, delicate balancing act. But I think certainly doable.
And then the Helios version. I think what might actually make the Helios version viable is not necessarily the value that the Helios provides, but the value of being able to Stranglehold.
Yeah, I like having Silas as one of the solos for that reason. But
oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be an option.
Also, I'm kind of just thinking the feat's irrelevant. It's like if POW plus strength 23 wasn't enough, it's just like it needed to be a weapon master.
You want
to
use less attacks.
Yeah.
It allows you to do things like use Imperatus.
Also, Silas is a great feat enabler because he's got reach. Yeah.
That's
no, probably 1 inch now.
I still two, I think.
Interesting. Well, before we sign off, I wanted to try something new. I don't think it'll take very long, but for new listeners, I know we a lot of times sort of gloss over like list building, but when I was building my most recent version of Sevi-1, I felt like the list actually came together pretty well. Like it seems to work really well for what I wanted to do, and I just kind of wanted to talk about the process of building that list a little bit. Are you guys up for that? I'm just going to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So my overall game plan was once the Eye of Truth was released, I realized that I could now build a gun line with any caster because defensive buffs just don't matter because everything's blessed.
Okay, this is okay. It's okay.
Deep breathing, Keith. Deep breathing.
Well, I kind of wanted to go back old school to when I very first started playing competitive War Machine, like seriously. One of my favorite lists was Sevi-1, a couple Redeemers, a Reckoner, and then X. And the big thing that I did, so my overall game plan for this list is to just play an insufferable gun line where I just basically pound you from range. And
suck
then
the fun out of life. Yep. Standard job.
I think it's fun. I mean, in the same way you think playing Haley 2 is fun. Right? So, but when I'm building the list, so what do you guys think are really important considerations, especially for new players, when you're trying, your overall game plan is to play a gun line? Like, what are things that are important?
How do you stay alive on scenario, probably?
Yep. So contesting scenario is important?
Contesting scenario, accounting for accuracy.
Yep.
Like making sure you can hit a wide range of defensive, or making sure that you're effective against a wide range of defensive stats, from the low defense high armor to the high defense low armor.
Right.
I feel like he's saying
to that. Even potentially high highs.
Right.
If possible.
Is there anything else that you think really, really helps you when you're trying to shoot?
If you can counter as many defensive mechanics as possible, like stealth, concealment, cover,
how valuable
that would be a consideration.
Yep.
Also, your resiliency to being shot back is also important, so that if you get into a gunfight, you can win it.
What do you guys think the value of going first is for a gunline?
I think when you're making a gunline, it's valuable, but you really shouldn't be playing games that rely on going first because you're in a bad way. Even with a +1. There's what is like a 33% chance you don't get to go first?
You get a 66% chance to go to first. But I think, so when I was building my list, the value of, like, the gun line isn't any worse going second, not much worse.
Exactly. When I build a gun line, that's usually the point of it, is that I can go second and be pretty mean.
You generally so massively out-threat your opponents when you're dedicated to a gun line that turn order becomes less relevant. I guess going first usually puts you in a better scenario position.
Right. So we talked about having to be able to contest scenario. One of the ways that you can kind of contest scenario is by going first, you push the line of engagement on your opponent's side of the board, which allows you to sort of back up and get an extra turn of shooting, really. Without, I mean, you lose, they get the opportunity to score first, but like you put your opponent in a bad way when you go first with a dedicated gun line, because then they have the option of not advancing a lot or running madly at you across the table and then just giving you dealer's choice for whatever you want to blow up. So I think there's value. I think there's value in going first. So I put Anastasia DeBray in the list for two reasons. One, I think it helps you with scenario play, +1 to go first. And I also think she's not a bad contester because you can always bring her in from the side and contest for a turn, no matter how the game has gone. So if your opponent's done a good job jamming you out or making it hard for you, you can get an extra turn of contesting out of it. And she's 3 points.
Yep.
And she's also positive EV. She almost always kills something important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome.
She can't always do both of those things. Like sometimes getting to the zone, well, always getting to the zone will pretty much require a run. But
right,
she can do one or the other.
Right.
She can definitely do something useful.
So I've been tending to save her for later in the game. A lot of times I like to bring her on like turn two right away and just kill the juiciest thing I can find. So if I can get a hold of Kovnik Joe or Eris, like if my opponent's not paying attention, basically, like I'll go take her out. But I also like saving her for the option of like extending my scenario game so I can give my guns more time to work.
Because Anastasia's got backstab now, which makes it so that when she comes in behind you, which she almost always does, she's a rat 6 plus 2 for backstrikes boosted. So it's a rat 8 boosted and then boosted to damage power 8. So very effective for solo killing.
Yep.
I think I got that right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another thing that I really like in gun lines, if you can bring solid guns that start on the AD line, it also pushes your opponent back just because you start 6 inches farther forward with your guns. So I think Idrian skirmishers also feed into that plan really well because they're very effective guns by themselves, and then they start with AD. And then, like Keith talked about before, having counterplay to other gun lines, they have a turn of go to ground, so they are also very difficult to shoot back for a turn. There are people that can do it, but they become immune to blast damage plus 4 defense. Like it's pretty good. And then they also have reposition for the turns that you don't go to ground. So you have the option to shoot and back up or shoot at range 10 and back up to 13 inches, which is, it's hard to explain what a difference there is between being 10 inches away from the things you're shooting and 13 inches. It's fairly significant.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to explain. The difference between 10 and 13 is the difference between in the average melee range and out of the average melee range.
Yep. There we go. Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome.
So with those premises, and then I think another really, really valuable thing to have in a dedicated gun line is a way to contest zones inexpensively. So I've been experimenting with the Kiki Monk, the Allegiant.
I hate that model.
Yeah, he can suck a big D.
I feel like no model should be Def 19 and immune to knockdown.
It's
Def
only 20? 18.
Whatever.
No, it's Def 20. 18. Right?
Well, I Defenders warded it in our game, Colin.
Yeah.
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 So it was Def 20 immune to knockdown.
Yeah, it's Def 20. It's never not going to be Def 20 now.
Forever and always.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for 3 points, like, he always contests for one turn, and he's speed 7, so he can get there from about anywhere.
So they have a stupid rule that if you miss him, he gets to, like, make a full advance.
Yeah, so that's where he becomes a disaster in scenario play.
Yeah, that model's stupid.
If you shifting sand stance, he gets plus 4 to defense, and then if you miss him, he gets to make
which
a full advance.
Happen.
Why is he a full? Why isn't it 2 inches?
Yeah.
Why isn't it just?
Why
dodge?
Is it 7?
Like what the? Ugh.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, I'm gonna just walk behind that warjack that just attempted to punch me, needing 12.
Yeah,
yep. Also, why is he immune to free strikes on it? Shouldn't he just have to take a free strike on that move?
No, he's got parry because he's fair and balanced.
Yeah. No,
yeah, those models are really stupid.
He's also, so he's 3 points. He's got amazing defensive stats, and he's also tough steady, so that if you do manage to tag him, sometimes you can just tough your way out of it. Now, there's counterplay to him for sure.
Yeah, it costs like 20 points.
No, like electro leaps,
yeah.
You know, boosted hit rolls. Like if you're mat 7, you only need like an 11 ball to hit. It's not so bad.
I'm done with this. I'm done with this.
Also,
yeah.
In my game,
also, yeah.
In my game against John, I like didn't really think about it in deployment or anything really. I was just like, well, I have like a whole gun mage cav unit and like some. I have like a few other spare models here and there. I can just deal with that one model in the like 12-inch circle. And then, like, I, like, on the first turn, I tried to shoot him. He's like, all right, he's Def 20. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, all right, well, I'm going to shoot him. And he's like, all right, he moved on to the hill. All right, now he's Def 22. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then the next round, I'm like, all right. So I'm just going to keep him. I missed him again. And he, like, moved forward to engage one of my cav. And I was like, perfect. I'm going to ghost walk that cav. We're going to literally move 3 cav into base to base so he can't walk away. And then it was just like, ah, still can't hit. Damn it.
But he still contested the zone for me.
Well, like, yeah, because like he didn't die, John.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I eventually sent a heavy rune wood, an entire cav unit into him, and he like, after 2 turns, he finally died.
Yeah, after playing against Pendrake, who has a duck against, like a Warpole Stalker, I'm just like, just Def 18 models are like, just like not. That's too far out of the realm of a 2d6 system.
No, I think they're balanced.
Unless you're like a Warcaster.
Yeah. What I like about him is he's 3 points and he's speed 7. So there's a lot of value in it because he can grab a flag for you if you're winning the game, and he can. Yeah, he's just.
Yeah. He lets you play.
But Linessa Wrestle was too much for 3 points.
He lets you play a piece of crap brick. With no repercussions.
Yeah. Yep. One model freaking brick. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Anyway, he's really good if you're going to play a gun line. So just,
just always have him in that list.
Strangely, in our game, that was the only mod on the table I had a silver bullet for was that idiot. Like, get out of here. And then I couldn't kill anything else the rest of the game. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You killed the crap out of that guy, though.
Yeah, I did.
Your silver bullet for him was rolling 12s, right?
Yeah, but he can shift his stance. I filled the zone with horses with sprays. And this was a bunch. I'm going to hit a 12 eventually. Like, and he can't move anywhere because they're just like, I'll spray through my own guys because we're all being to cult.
He doesn't want to move out of the zone. Away.
He's like, you can leave the zone, or you can like
try to
play here.
If you had missed the first one, I would have moved on the hill though, and then you would have needed 14s. And
I would, but it's a lot of 14s, and you get to keep missing. You know, I would hit eventually.
Probably.
Wait, so it's
were you
like...
just complaining about him needing boxcars versus him needing 14s, which is the same?
No, it's three dice because
three dice. It's all based
on whispers.
Because he's feet it. Oh no, not feet. That's
I thought we were just spraying looking for boxcars, and John was like, but then I would have moved on the hill.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, no, map is literally the same.
Tangentially, since we're on the subject of boxcars, can I just complain about my game with Colin yesterday where I was like, this is so me and Nick, we've been doing some dojo stuff, and me and Nick have fundamentally different philosophies on like how to commit your forces to stuff. I like to put the least amount of resources to the task on averages, so I have spares to cover my butt if it goes wrong, whereas Nick is like, I'm all in, and he'll do a lot of extra activations to make sure it goes through. And so, because Nick's plan is, if my plan works, I'll probably win the game and I don't need to do all this extra stuff, whereas my plan is, I want to basically like hot dog it, and I want to like kill that guy with minimal resources and then like show off the rest of my stuff. Basically is what.
So, mine is more so these models don't have anything to do this turn, so they might as well shoot.
Yeah,
that
thing, so you have to bore your opponent to death watching like POW 11s go against POW 12 armor 20s, just in case you roll a 12 and do 1 point because you have to. Anyway, let's not get into the nitty gritty of it. So against Colin, I was. I had a Rocketeer. He had Stryker behind a wall, and he had like a Squire just kind of standing off to the side. And I was like, well, Stryker's like def 20. I need boxcars to hit. I'm just going to shoot that Squire. Because I was like, and then I rolled boxcars. Damn it! Like,
and he left my caster on 2.
I left his caster on 2 hit points. Yeah, that was the, yep. Yep. And yeah. So anyways,
fair,
lesson learned. Just take all your shots. If the game is over, if you can't kill a caster, don't get cute and just shoot stuff because it's like a higher value attack. Like
you put them all in.
Yeah, you go for those boxcars. Anyways, back to the thing.
Anyway, there's not much else to share. I just thought it was fun building a list, and I felt like it's as engaged in list building as I've been in a while as far as building to my game plan.
Mm-hmm.
It does identify,
like, you know, you play the brick, because that... Both your Sevi and your Malekith brick pretty hard.
Yep.
Like, you're also confined to either the book or the choir,
yep,
or you have too many components that sort of force you to not outreach out too much.
Yep.
So, yeah, even if you go first.
So having 9 points of these little, like, unkillable thurtles is just like...
Yeah, Anastasia. But, yeah, there's a lot of other, you know. So he's got, like, enough tools to solve enough of his problems. And Menoth does it differently than Kador. Kador's just, I'm extreme. Everything's 22 plus inches, E to D. You know, like, they just sort of...
Yeah.
And then with Menoth, they have to sort of... It's a lot shorter of a range, other than the Redeemers.
Yeah.
And then they have to sort of be more cagey as they brick up. Also, as Kador, my gun line versus John's gun line, where it's like, mine's the entire board, and I make you fight in the shade. And John's got this, like, itty-bitty brick. Like, if it's a two-circle scenario, he's like, fudge.
Not really, because he just puts a three.
The monk,
dude,
exactly.
Yeah.
But exactly. So he has to take these little value propositions to, like, how do I, like, cover this weakness, you know?
Yeah, I wish Signar, like, the gunline faction had one dude that was just unkillable.
He's not unkillable.
He's 100% unkillable.
Electro leaps, bro. Yeah. You get there.
You could just
he'll just make a tough check.
Well, you need redundancy in this electro leap plan.
You need a firefly and then a storm pod and then like 10
I need at least 20 points of models to get this done.
Yeah.
Kill this 3-point model.
Again, because a lot of those... we're like, John will get better, because I think in every game he's done it, he's sort of after the game said, I should have kind of come up the middle so that he didn't have to commit. Because he commits really hard to one to deny you the zone wholly. Like, you have no chance at the one zone. And then he wants a 3-point guy to hold the other zone by himself.
He just wants Gandalf.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. It does give you the ability to essentially go, oh, okay, well, let's just make that the game. And you take all your points over to the zone with the 3-point model in it. If you kill it, then you're just in a race to see who can contest first, you know, score those points.
Well, probably. His plan is to go first. So that means that I get if I can kill that guy
exactly.
first, then I should score first.
Exactly.
Yep. I mean, actually having the option to choose table side can be very powerful for a gun line as well. So Anastasia kind of gets you both ways.
Yep. Yeah.
you know, if you're denying your opponent like all the sweet trinkets.
Yeah, having the decision is always good.
Yeah. But I played that Sevi list several times, and I will say this. Redeemers are actually dumber than they were in Mark II.
He said it?
Yeah.
Is it because they cheaper and buffed? Is that why?
I think that might be why. They're still inaccurate, though, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal.
Okay.
I guess they got burfed because they did lose two accurs.
I did wonder if the choir nerf made them a little less playable because a big part of
found out
and then he played them and he's like no.
Yeah. Well,
literally before we even played our game, his exact words were, "I never don't get enough, like they always pay for their points." And then it's like in the next two consecutive games, they not only got their points, they more than doubled their points.
Yeah, he's like, "I think I need to put more redeemers in this list."
Yeah,
I did come to that conclusion. Like, I may put a third redeemer in because Sevi can actually fuel it.
They're about 12, right?
Oh, I had one more thought about the Kiki Monk.
Yeah.
He might have been a model that was more okay when you could still power attack your own models.
Yes, you could slam your own models over the top of him, blah, blah, blah.
He might now be a skosh over.
I mean, that's still not awesome because you have like a 15-point models activation to slam.
No, it's not awesome, but at least you have a solution.
Like, if I spend 20 points and kill one of my own dudes, that guy, 66% of the time, is going down. Just like, well, I mean, let's do it. Godspeed.
Just, if you wanted to dial it up.
That's just Marauders in every game. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Godspeed, other Marauder.
That might be Harkovich's biggest advantage. Just plus 3 armor, so it hurts a little less.
They just have butt pads on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you want to dial up the Kiki Monk, you could probably play a Reclaimer Gatekeeper, too, and give it Ashen Veil.
Yeah. I mean, that's worse than Defender's Ward, but...
No, you can give it both.
What?
So the Reclaimer Gatekeeper is a solo.
Oh,
3
oh,
points.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
You can give him Ashen Veil, yeah. And you could Defender's Ward it and make him 22 all the time.
That seems excessive.
It's excessive.
No one plays living models, John. No one plays War Beasts.
He still has concealment, though, for the shots that are coming in. So that's not bad.
Def 18 minus terrain was not enough.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to dial it up, you could.
It's like, that guy behind a wall is just never dying.
Yeah, I think...
I just am imagining someone, like, putting a wall in a zone, because you could do that now, and that guy just being behind it, like, stone, or just, like, shifting stands, just like, well, but at least go... Do Sky Raptors have storm pods? Like,
at least you know exactly where he's going to be.
Yeah, that doesn't really help.
I mean, that's like the Josh Holt strategy. Basically, right, if you kill this monk, that's their caster. You send your army after him.
Like, my favorite moment was when Colin finally connected with it, and I made my tough check. He's like, that guy has tough! And I'm like, Eddie Steady.
That model picked up an absurd amount of rules from like Mark 2 to Mark 3.
They did that with a lot of combat solos. Also, it's like 8 wounds, right?
No, it's only 5.
Okay. But a lot of combat solos picked up 8 wounds. Like, I actually think they should just make all combat solos 8 wounds.
I just don't understand.
Except that guy.
Like, I think his point cost is right. Probably. I feel like a lot of other solos are high. I think he's very much worth 3 points.
Oh, my God.
He's a weapon master, too, right?
He's got 2 pound 9 weapon master.
Doesn't he have combo?
He does not.
You sure?
Possibly.
He might have picked that up.
No, he didn't.
You can't combo kick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has punching fists.
He has 2 punching gloves.
The definition of a combo.
Yeah.
But why are they not his feet?
Because he has 2, like, they have, like,
he
giant mauls,
like,
metal mauls on their hands.
He should have a special ability, like, flying kick. I agree.
That's the shifting stance. Him being on one leg makes him extremely hard to hit.
And he can't fall down.
Holy crap, guys. He's advanced deployment. I didn't even notice that.
Yep. He picked up a lot of rules from Mark 2 to Mark 3.
He also has sidestep now.
Mm-hmm.
Mildly amusing.
This is so stupid.
Yep. He's only armor 12. He's pretty easy to... 12, armor 12, 5 boxes. You just kill him with blast.
Get out here and let it rizzle.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, poor Lynn.
Do you miss the attack?
You know who gets actually shafted in all this talk? Yuri. He's 6. He's 2 monks.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Does he
Lord
move,
of the Feast.
Yeah.
Does he move right after the attack misses, or is it...
After the attack is resolved. So if it's like an AoE attack, the AoE drifts, does damage, then he moves.
Okay.
Does damage, makes his tough check, then moves. That's what's, yeah.
The toughest.
33% of the time, it's the most tilting thing in the game. Because you're just like, yep, finally nailed him with an AoE. Got him. Passed it. I'm going to go and engage that model. Yeah, you're just, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because on that guy, one health is just as bad as five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a douche.
Who's more ridiculous, him or Bloody Bradigan?
Bloody Bradigan.
No, definitely him.
It's him.
Bloody,
by miles.
Bloody Bradigan took off
John,
half a Templar.
Have you ever had to punch Pendrake to death with a feral or like with a war beast? Have you ever had to do it?
Nope.
Okay, that's why you know it's not this guy. It's like it's definitely this guy, not Bloody Bradigan.
Bloody Bradigan.
I've had ferals punch Sorsha all the time. It has never been a problem. Where she's like def 18, 20 with the war dog. Get out. Like, okay. I thought high defense, but I guess not.
One shot city.
Yeah, one shot city.
That seems... Needing 12 sucks. Mm-hmm. Real hard.
Well, it's bad because you only get one on the monk.
Yeah.
Like, Colin was so excited because
it's worse.
His Stormclad walked up. He rolled his... I think you need, 11? No, you need a 13.
I think
was...
You're minus defense, yeah.
Yeah, you're minus 2 defense.
So oh, that's right. You need 11.
A 9.
Yeah, you need an 11.
Yeah,
I
you
was playing
actually
Haley 3 too. I also had a Haley 3 model committed to this fight too. Just still not enough.
You need a 12, and you need them to fail the tough check.
You need
so
it.
Like, only works.
You needed baby Haley to just walk over there point blank and chain blast, just like see ya.
I mean, in hindsight, I would have done that.
Yeah.
But I thought like going after his army was the better plan. No, going after this 3-point model was the correct plan.
Mm.
What's the odds of hitting on like 12 on 3 dice? Is it like
it's near impossible.
It's like 30 something, right? It's like 30 to 40-ish.
I think it's in the 40s.
I think it's 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like low 40s.
Yeah. So let's just say it's 40.
Yep.
So then a heavy boosting and punching this guy only kills it 0.6 of 40. You're just like only kills it like 30-ish% of the time. Boosh.
He's also a late game super problem solver. What was the thing? You ended up just immolating his caster to death anyways,
yeah.
But like the monk, his dumb ability to just like leave like all kinds of engagements and walk a distance was like, he thought he was pretty safe, but like a monk would have been able to snake through all the dudes.
I could have run from one flag, I don't remember what scenario it was, from one flag to the other flag through his entire army. Like Josh had pretty much tabled me, but he almost left the other flag completely uncontested, save one model.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out a way to kill it. But
the only thing John had left was two monks and a caster.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Then I diced the crap out of Josh. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, not excited to start playing against those guys, but
the monks?
Yeah.
They're okay.
They're only pound 9 weapon masters. They're really not egregious in any way. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
They have parry, right?
They do.
Yeah.
And sidestep.
Yep.
Okay.
They're the new Warwitch Sirens.
They're worse, probably.
No,
actually.
They're not worse.
I think they might be
worse. They're just they're an excellent scenario tool.
I feel like they might be worse.
Again, when you say an excellent scenario tool, I think like a whole like unit that like
you're
costs
just like
20
boom
points.
House. This like, guy's boom house.
Blackface Ghost Raiders.
like what the hell, John?
This one guy's just boom howler. Like it's just he alone.
He's an entire unit, but he only costs 30% of what that unit costs.
The other one that's kind of annoying is the Knight's Exemplar Seneschal, because when you kill him, he doesn't die.
But
so
at least
he auto
actually dies. Like, I can actually, like, kill him, because I just, like...
Nigel killed the monk twice like a boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that guy's not, like, frustrating to kill, because it's like, all right, do all the work I want, and, like, this final shot's just going to kill that guy. And then I'd say go. And, like, I don't get a score that turn, but at least the 6-point model's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord of the Feasts! What a pile of garbage! God,
God, I love you guys.
Not all solos were created equal. That's for sure.
Yeah, ones are the garbage ones.
We need. Yeah, that's the petition we need to start. Is to, like fix our 6-point solos.
Yeah,
I'm not sure there should ever be a 6-point melee solo. That's hard to swallow.
I'm not sure there should be a 6-point solo.
Yeah. Or Eris is 7.
Unless it's like a cav.
Eris is 7 points.
Finn should be 3. I want Finn to be 3.
I'm fine with Finn being
4. Isn't he 4?
He's 6.
Yeah, he's
6. Really 6?
4
is,
I mean he's a scrapjack,
he's
basically.
He's actually pretty awesome.
He's like Madrak.
The veteran leader parts, though.
He's got veteran leader. He's got assault. He's got...
He could be 3 points without awesome veteran gun. Leader.
He's like Matt 8, Rat 7.
Yeah.
He's got D3 shots with a good gun.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty awesome.
He's playable.
And he's got... I think he's got dig in, right?
Using a sweet gun.
He might not have dig in. But he's like... He's a beast for contesting, like, when you're playing with Haley.
I took him with Jake's, and Bullet Dodger on him is really good.
Yeah.
Hey, for the record, the Eye of Truth, pretty playable, in case you're wondering.
Oh, really?
Yeah. God. Just the dojo sort of met up. I'm not sure he's quite worth 20 points. I'm going to continue to test and see if he needs to be brought.
That comes as a great shock to us all.
He is not worth 20. He's worth like 22, maybe 3.
No, he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's harder to apply his bubble than you think, though, turns out.
Having played the Scordia and that being a 3-inch, I have a feeling 5 inches is probably idiot-proof.
Well, no, because he's like a POW 18 beater, so you want to send him in. So it's like,
yeah, that was super rough, wasn't it, John?
He's like, oh, my heavy killed your models, and then
No. His heavy didn't even have to commit because he just, you know, had two redeemers, and like he could just clear the zone with his 16-inch guns that were blessed. With costing you nothing.
It wasn't that bad.
Man, now there's just no reason to play Resnik 2. Like, Spell Piercer, I just get it in every list.
It is weird. It's also weird to think that you don't need purification either. You're just like, It, strangely, it's actually better against, like, Baldur 2. It's kind of funny if you think about it. Fair and balanced.
Well, I think that's a cast.
It was a cast. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thank God. I gotta go to bed.
It's so late.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Muse on Minis. This has been John.
Colin.
Crump.
Nigel.
And Keith. Thanks for tuning in. Yep.
We also, Chad, probably cut out that coach's corner.
just but leave this part in. The request is coming. Oh, man. 2 weeks until, like, John Wick. No, wait. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. In 48 hours, it's Resident Evil, so we can literally watch that until John Wick comes out.
I haven't. No.
Yes.
No.
Are you going to go to my marathon screening where we all then go to see it?
I think I've seen, like, half of an episode on, like, an FX channel or something.
Half of an episode.
They're, like, episodes, right? Like, they don't really tell the whole story.
The Resident Evil movies are the Fast and Furious of horror. They're, like, amazing.
Oh.
And then you 100% have
to just... Actually, that's accurate.
It's totally accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what makes them great. And Underworld movies are
poop.
Which
one's Tokyo Drift?
probably 2, because 2 was kind of Tokyo Drifty. It was pretty bad. Whichever one didn't have Mila Jovovich.
It was the first one.
No, the first one was great.
First one was terrible.
First one was awesome.
Even Fox thinks the first one is terrible. Yeah, Fox loves Resident Evil.
Fox is wrong.
I appreciate picking up those movies, like, just watching random snippets of them and just being like, what is going on? How did we get here? And like,
I don't know if anybody's noticed on Facebook, but the way movies campaign has kind of changed a bit. So you've seen a lot of John Wick trailers just on your Facebook feed. I've seen a lot of Death Race. Death Race is getting a remake by Roger Corman.
Seen any of
I
that.
Keep on seeing Beauty and the Beast, even though that's 2 months away.
Hmm. Isn't this the second Death Race remake?
It is. Yeah. The Death Race, the previous one with like Jason Statham, was stupid. It was like, it wasn't remade in the spirit of like the 80s, the original, where it was literally.
No, this is the third like new movie they've had.
What?
This is the third Death Race movie.
Yes, it is. They had Death Race 1 and 2, Jason Statham, then a bunch of replacements. But again, both of those were like, the license was bought by just idiots who wanted to just like, they just didn't understand what the movie was about.
Yeah.
Roger Corman has it back.
Isn't it about death racing?
It's about, but you have to run over civilians. Like, it's not about people racing to survive, which is what the previous two were about. This is about how many points you can rack up by running over civilians and handicapped people and like random stuff. So like,
it's basically all of our dreams.
It's 100% like it's Idiocracy, because that's what the original one was. It was Idiocracy in like Mad Max mixed into one big dumb movie. And now that's it's back. It's like, yes. So I plan on watching that, obviously, too. But anyways, the way they chop the ads, it's like movies have become, the studios have become kind of self-aware, and they know what they're selling you. And so the movie clips are just ridiculous. Like, the Underworld ad and the Resident Evil ads have been, like, comically bad. Like, they just aren't even, they aren't even trying to make it look good. They're just like, this is Lucien. He's like the evil werewolf. His hobbies are drinking people's blood and blowing it out. And then this is, you know, Van Wilder, and he's the new vampire, and he basically wants to tear into some whatever. And then, like, he just, it's so stupid. And then these guys are going to be battling over who gets to suck the blood out of what's-her-face from Underworld. And then, like, you can, like, vote for, like, which idiot, you know. It's basically, like, it's like a new version of Team Edward versus Team Guy Who Can't Act.
This actually sucks, because there's a lot of movies that I, like, wanted to see that just aren't playing in theaters because the theaters are jam-packed with just basically movies for deplorables. Like, there's so many. Like, Arrival came out, and apparently just there weren't any like showings around.
There's tons of showings,
and La La Land is only in one theater in Des Moines. And
you're just because you were Ryan Gosling's in it. Get out of here.
I just watched Arrival, by the way.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Was it better than Passengers?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Nailed it.
I never saw Passengers. I'm just going to assume it's
And then, there's like Moonlight, but they're like in the theaters, but it's such a short period.
What's
of
Moonlight
time.
About?
I don't know. I forget.
I'm getting confused because there's Spotlight, which is about like priests who bang kids, and I was just not like having that. Like, nope, I'll skip that movie.
Have you watched that Jude Law show at all yet?
No, The Young Pope.
The Young Pope.
Also about dudes who bang kids.
Yeah. I have not watched that yet. But no, there's like a, at the end of every year, I Google like top 10 movies from X year. And there were like a ton of them where I was just like, man, all these came out in like the past month. And like, I didn't even.
Like Zoolander 2.
Yeah.
Missed it.
What was it? There was a.
Well, the Red Letter Media guys did a thing on that. It's basically F you, it's January forever. Just an endless sea of remakes and sequels from now until the end of time.
Yeah. Well, there was a, what was that show about, like, Manchester by the Sea? It was about, like, a, I don't know, some story about a guy who's, like, in Boston, and then something happened. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Classic movie.
Yeah.
About a guy from Boston and stuff happens.
Yep.
It could have been Marky Mark. It could be Ben Affleck. It could be Casey Affleck. Who knows? It's a Boston guy.
I gotta go see La La Land. Every once in a while, I'm in the mood for a musical.
Can watch it on Cody.
I heard good things.
Yeah. I mean, it got a bunch of awards. And
It got an SNL skit. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. And I do love me some Ryan Gosling. That guy's actually just a good actor.
He's pretty fantastic.
Young Hercules was the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, easily.
He's pretty good in Remember the Titans.
Yeah. He's done a lot of awesome things.
Man, we are duds tonight.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just glossed over dreaming about Ryan Gosling.
That hurt my ear.
Yeah. Also, no Josh here, so like, I don't have a rant to look forward to.
Cheddar Caveman's like, damn. The highlight of my week.
I guess we could talk about the Patriots being in the Super Bowl for the, I can't actually count how many times in my life now.
Yeah, it sucks.
How many times has it been since I've been
alive? I think it's five.
Who cares?
Six if you count 85.
No, it's seven.
Seven?
Who cares? Perfect. They literally, it's not the Steelers, so it's fine.
I saw a meme, and this is what I'm basing my knowledge on, in which he was wearing his winter coat, and they're like, what's he hiding under that coat? And it was four NFL, or Super Bowl trophies.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this must be the fifth one. Oh, no, they lost one. Damn, it is the sixth or the seventh.
Two.
They lost two?
Yeah.
So he has four trophies. They lost. So this is the seventh one of just Tom Brady?
They lost to the Seahawks, and who else?
Oh, no, they lost. No, they won. They,
I'm not asking how many times they've won. I'm asking how many times they've been.
Did they lose to the Seahawks once?
They lost to the Giants twice.
Yeah.
No, not twice.
Yes, twice.
No.
Yes, twice.
Colin, Google. Call.
I mean, I have the page up right there now. What are we wondering?
How many times have Patriots have been in the Super Bowl in your lifetime?
Right, I knew that, but the other thing.
And how many times have they lost in the Super Bowl?
And then how many times have they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl?
Wait, they lost to the Rams, right?
The Rams?
No, they beat the Rams.
The Seahawks?
Wait. All right, going back chronologically, 2 years ago they beat the Seahawks by four, so they've been in once.
Oh, yeah, that was the Pete Carroll.
They lost to the Giants three years before that.
Because Eli has two.
They lost to the Giants 3 years before that.
You're right.
The Giants scores were 21-17 and then 17-14.
Thrilling games.
They beat Philadelphia. That was the last time I went to the Super Bowl. Douche.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we at the
four?
They beat Carolina the year before that, so that's five. They beat St. Louis 20-17.
That's six.
They lost to Green Bay in 97, so that's seven.
That doesn't count for Brady, though. That's all we really care about. So they've been to six.
No, in my lifetime, that's what I'm wondering.
And then were you born before or after 85?
I was
85?
Born in
89. Okay, so you missed the whole 85 debacle.
What do you mean debacle?
That was a debacle.
So it was the greatest year in American history.
Says the Bears.
They have roughly, in my lifetime, they have made the Super Bowl.
Every third year.
26% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Oh, not counting this year. So, hold on. So higher. Wasn't counting this year. So yeah, 8 of 27. Or 28. Yeah, 29% of the time.
Can the Dallas Cowboys be fired from being America's team and we just move it over to the Patriots?
I think it should be the Redskins.
It's 100% the Patriots. No, not.
I mean, they're in D.C.
Mm-hmm, that's
the capital,
true.
Like, clearly.
The thing is, nobody likes the Patriots.
Everybody,
the Cowboys,
we all like the Patriots. Yeah. America loves winners, Colin.
Yeah, that
that's
too.
Why nobody likes the Bears.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bears are why they're going to let guns in school. That's the whole.
Don't they already allow guns in school?
No, it's because of this bear problem.
But Donald Trump is president.
They might in Alaska. I don't know.
Well, yeah, a bear could get you at any time.
Yeah. Well, a moose actually is the main problem. But
I think a moose sneaking up on you would be a lot less likely.
Than a bear.
In Alaska, they literally have wildlife days where, like, you...
Bring your wildlife to school?
No. It's literally you, like, calling to work, and you're like, there's a moose in my front lawn. I can't come to work yet.
Oh, I see.
Like, okay, like, see you when you get here.
Yeah.
you just, out your front, like, bay window, just have, like, a staring contest with a moose for, like, 3 hours.
And then the moose leaves, and then you get on your plane, and you fly to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Assuming the moose hasn't made it with your plane. Left it in disrepair.
What's the plural of moose? Is it moose? Like moose on a plane? Like, I don't know.
I think it's a beast.
There's the new Star Wars title.
What's that?
The Star Wars title got...
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, The Last Jedi. Which is like one of the... It's a really crappy title.
It would be... The title should have been Luke Dies in the end.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't mean he dies.
It doesn't, because the plural of Jedi is Jedi. Yeah. So, The Last Jedi could mean the last two Jedi.
Also, Rey's not a Jedi. Luke is literally the last Jedi. Like, it could literally be about, hey, we found Luke, the last Jedi. Because he is the last Jedi currently.
And then they chopped him in half. Like, Rey's like, thank you for making this possible.
I mean,
and he's like, okay. And then,
but somebody has to become a Jedi. Like, a Jedi doesn't, like, they just become a Jedi, right?
Not necessarily. Okay, like,
so this is the movie where she gets trained theoretically. So doesn't she then become the Jedi?
It takes more time than one movie.
It took one movie for Luke.
No.
Yeah, it did. Because
he
went back.
He did not finish his training.
He went back to get training, and Yoda died the second he got there.
Yeah, but he didn't finish it.
Not a Jedi.
Well, he wasn't. No,
actually, in that trilogy, I never got the impression.
I
never got the impression he actually completed his training. He was always sort of.
He did.
Yeah,
that's the point where, like, I'm making.
Yeah,
he's like, you have to complete the training, and then he's like, I've come back to complete the training. He's like, I'm dead now. See ya. And then Luke's like, oh, crap.
Yep.
So it's taken all these, like, 30, 40 years just for him to complete his training.
Mm-hmm.
So now he is a Jedi. Oh,
maybe,
I get the title now.
Maybe he was taught by R2.
Well, did he pass the trials to become a Jedi?
That's why he's at a Jedi temple.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Somebody probably knows the answers to these questions, and they're probably screaming at us right now.
Well, no, because none of those answers are canon anymore, so they don't.
Fair point.
Mm.
It's all a mystery. There's this... There's this, like, I think, I don't remember. I hope Joey probably posted it. It was a meme. But there's, like, this Facebook page that's called, like unexpected memes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And someone makes this, like, 3-minute montage of, like, Grievous from the Clone Wars animated series, like, being a complete badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last, like, 2 seconds, the music just gets super sad. And it's just him, like, wheezing and coughing from the actual film. And then, like, Obi-Wan just ripping his heart open and shooting him with a blaster and dying. I was just like, oh, yeah, that happened. Because everyone was so excited to, like... Because everyone who watched that, like, TV series was, like, super pumped because, like, Grievous is just a, well, quite literally a murder machine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Lucas, you ruined it again. Yeah. I kind of want to go back and watch that show.
Clone Wars?
Yeah.
It's probably pretty good.
Speaking of something similarly related, they're rebooting Samurai Jack.
I heard that.
Yeah. I think for Netflix? I think it's for Netflix. And Cartoon Network's running, like... It's for some streaming service. I don't remember which, but Cartoon Network's like gonna marathon the show for like an entire week before, which makes me sad. I don't have Cartoon Network.
Well, so. I mean, it's on Samurai Jack is currently on Toonami, so not the new stuff, but
yeah. Wait, how long has it been on there though?
A little while. I don't know. I noticed it this I noticed like a commercial for it when I was watching Dragon Ball Super
because the new stuff comes out in like a month or so.
Yeah.
Oh, new Voltron.
Oh, Voltron!
I keep forgetting that's a thing.
I've watched like 3 episodes now. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I just super hope that Samurai Jack is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because then it'll all come out at once. And, like, sweet.
And then screw that day.